Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Radio Networks on Saturday, November 4th, 2017. This is episode 1436. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Tracker, a coin-sized tracking device that pairs with your smartphone and keeps you from losing your most valued possessions. Visit thetracker.com/techguy to save 20% off any order. And by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/techguy. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Time to talk computers and the internet and home theater and digital photography and smartphones and smartwatches, augmented reality and home theater. Yes, with Scott Wilkinson coming up. But first I have to, well, I thought today I was going to begin with an apology, to be honest. I was going to apologize to you that I don't have the new iPhone. But I thought I wasn't. Apple did a very odd thing this week. They gave four people the iPhone X last week. And I said, okay, you know, as they do. Oh, no, don't tell any. Shh, don't say a word. No one shall know. But the odd thing they did, which frankly irritated journalists, was they told one journalist, Stephen Levy of Wired, you can publish your review on Monday. They told the other three, you can publish your review on Tuesday. Of course, the first review gets all the heat, right? Gets all the attention. So that's like giving somebody money. I don't think Stephen made money on it, but Wired, his publisher, certainly did. And Stephen got a lot of prestige. And he said, well, I was one of the first four to get the original iPhone. So that's why. But except that David Pogue, who was one of the other four, and Ed Begg of USA Today, who was the other, didn't get it. Walt Mossberg's retired, so he didn't get it either. So really, Stephen, you were the only one who got it. And you got this amazing thing that I don't know if I've seen this before. A company, it happens very rarely because it really ticks off journalists. They said to one, you can publish first. And they picked the one. And then they did another thing. On Wednesday, remember, the new iPhone came out on this past Friday, yesterday. They said on Wednesday they gave a one-day wonder to a number of other prestigious publications, mostly blogs, and YouTubers. A lot of YouTubers got an iPhone. And some of them got it for one day only. Some of them got it a demonstration that they could shoot a piece on High Snobiety, which is a YouTube channel I'd never heard of. I have now. They're famous now because they were able to do a review of the iPhone X on Wednesday, way ahead of anybody else except the few. There was a lot of speculation. Why, Apple, did you do this? Why were you so careful? And of course, the risk is that you will annoy other journalists. One of the best known Macintosh and Apple bloggers, John Gruber of Daring Fireball, was very annoyed because he didn't get one. He's very annoyed. I wasn't. I want to point out, people are going to say, oh, you're just whining. I don't ever take review units. It's my personal philosophy, and I'm fortunate enough that I can do this. Not all journalists can do this, but I can do it. I buy everything only because I want to have the experience. And I don't like to review products before they come out because that's not the product you're going to get. And I can tell you many, many times where journalists have been fooled by a pre-release product, usually for the worse, not the better, that didn't work properly. So I wait, I buy it. And so a week ago, I got online at midnight and so did my wife and I ordered and I didn't get it till the 17th. And I was very disappointed. I thought, well, I'm going to have to apologize to all of you. I don't have anything to say about the iPhone X yet because I won't have it for 2 weeks. My wife, though, I give her commendations. She, I got up. I told you this last week. I fired up all the computers, and I had four screens going, hoping to get into the store fast. And no, and it was like midnight plus 20, I guess. It took me about 20 minutes, 12:20. Finally got an order in. And by then, it was, well, you get it in 2 weeks. If you order now, by the way, you'll get it in 6 weeks. But she didn't even get out of bed. She just went on her phone, sleepily ordered an iPhone 10. And hers was supposed to come November 10th, but it came yesterday. Thank you, Apple. So I have in my hand my wife's iPhone. But she very kindly is letting me use it. We're getting identical phones, so when mine comes, she'll just take that over. So I can give you some initial reactions to the iPhone 10. My thought was the reason Apple did what they did, these short turnaround, because everybody reviewed it after a day. Only a few, handful had it for more than a day. And I thought, well, what? So here's what the thinking was. If you only have it for a day, you're going to focus on the new features, the cool stuff. You're not going to have time to look at battery life or screen burn-in, should there be any. You're not going to have time to kind of really get to know it. You're just going to be saying things like, wow, that screen's gorgeous, or wow, that Face ID is amazing. You won't even have, you know, one of the problems that came up with Touch ID when it first came out was Touch ID rot, that it got worse and worse over time. The fingerprint reader on the original, iPhone 6? Degenerated. You had to reteach it. But you won't have time if you're a one-day reviewer to know that. Notice any of the negatives. You'll focus on, look at that beautiful design. So I'm one of those people because I got it yesterday and I played with it, of course, incessantly. But I can't tell you battery life yet. I can tell you this is, in many ways, lives up to the hype of the iPhone X. The screen is stunning. The design is quite beautiful. I got the, what do they call it, silver? It's a white, glassy white back. Looks a lot like the iPhone 8 white. The silver part is this kind of chrome rim on the outside, which looks a lot like, it really, and I'm sure this is conscious, is an homage to the original iPhone, which had the same kind of curve. But the thing you'll most notice, of course, immediately is the beautiful OLED screen, edge-to-edge screen that Apple has created that really is gorgeous. The first thing you'll do, of course, is you'll train it with face recognition. Let me see if I can get it to recognize me. it's not recognizing me. I guess it's... okay. One of the things that happens if you do a lot of face recognition or bad face recognition is then you have to give it a passcode. The passcode is your fallback. So let's see if it'll recognize me now. No, it doesn't recognize me anymore. I don't have my glasses on. So that's one problem with Face ID. Is it's not perfect. It's surprisingly good in many... it works in the dark. You can wake up in the middle of the night. That was one of the things I was concerned about, is whether you could wake up in the middle of the night. And yes, you can. It's pitch black. It's got infrared sensors, so it can see you. I tried it. I was at a rock concert last night, a Bruno Mars concert, and it worked great there in the weird lights. It works surprisingly often, but occasionally you'll have to do what I just had to do to unlock it, which is enter your six-digit passcode. I don't mind that so much. The Face ID works so quickly in most cases that you don't even think it's locked. I've set it to be the most secure, which is, there's a switch that says, do you have to pay attention to get it to unlock? Do you have to be looking at it? And I said, yes. And it would probably work a little bit more readily if I didn't say yes. The idea is you don't want people to unlock it when you're not looking at it. Just like, you know, pick up your phone and kind of shine it at your face before you notice. So it makes it a little more secure. But the screen is gorgeous. Truly, truly beautiful. A lot of people worried about the notch at the top of the screen. And you only see it when you launch an application that uses the full screen. And then you see it. It's quite visible. But I think Apple's right. You get used to it. And in fact, all of what happens, except for maybe movies, happens below the notch. So it's not a horrible thing. What is interesting is without the home button, you have a new way of using the phone. You have to swipe up to go home from the bottom. And I was concerned that now Apple has effectively three different user interfaces for iOS. 4 if you include Apple TV, 5 if you include the Apple Watch. But just in iPhones alone, the iPhone 8 and its predecessors has a home button and a fingerprint reader. This new iPhone 10 does not. And so you have to do swipes from different, you swipe from a corner to get to your control panel. You swipe from another corner to get to your notifications. You swipe from the bottom to go home. You get used to it pretty quickly. Pretty quickly. I'll have more on the iPhone 10, and we'll take your calls next. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I'll compare it to the iPhone, or the Galaxy Note, which is also a gorgeous screen. In fact, prior to this, the most gorgeous screen out there. And, well, it's a lot smaller, isn't it? It feels very small. It feels very compact in the hand. And not badly so. It's kind of midway between an iPhone 8 and 8 Plus or 7 and 7 Plus. Not badly so, though. I have to say, Samsung screens are gorgeous. But this iPhone screen is, too. And maybe a little more naturalistic. Look, for instance, the red of the Authy icon on the right is the Galaxy Note 8. On the left is the iPhone. And you'll see it's actually a little more natural. It's a little pops a little more. I don't know, maybe you can't even see that on the stream. But it pops a little bit more on the Note 8 compared to the... This seems more natural. This seems actually quite accurate on the left, the iPhone 10. And that's probably not surprising. I would guess Apple would be very picky about screen calibration. Let me see how my, just quickly see how my Samsung. And by the way, I'm used to not having a home button. A lot of my phones, including this Note 8, don't have home buttons. You get used to the swiping. Let me look at the display real quickly. See how I have this set, adaptive. So let's see. Should I go cinema? That's the most accurate, or photo. Let's go to photo. Now let's compare the reds. Little closer. But still the Apple red is a little bit, you know, and it may also be the Authy has done it a different color. But I think not. I think that really this is a... The colors are not muted, if they feel more accurate on the iPhone. And again, that could totally be psychological. That's why I think they released it to reviewers for 24 hours, because it's very hard not to be completely subjective when you only have it for a day. You don't really come to hate a phone right away, right? It takes you a while to really hate a phone. I did. I went uptown riding my limousine to the Apple store. There were lines overnight at the Apple store to people to get the iPhone 10. But I think the good news is the iPhone 10 is probably, in all likelihood, going to be more available than we thought. Even people who are ordering it today online are getting it this year. We thought it might be 2018 before people got them. It looks like they're making them faster than they thought they would. Kim Schaffer is here. Hello, Kim.
Good morning.
I know, it's okay. You could be jealous.
You know what? I don't need a phone that's made all of glass. I don't even trust myself with the glass that I have on.
Yeah, I know. No.
I've got the extra tempered glass on the front. What do I got to stick one on the back too?
I would actually say to people, if you're happy with your existing iPhone, even going back to the 6, there's no real reason to upgrade.
I have the 6S Plus.
Fine
with
that's
it.
That's fine.
I'm fine with it until it dies on me.
Well, and you have the headphone
jack. And then I'll
be
begging you for one of your laptops.
Yeah. Well, you can have a hand-me-down. Yeah. God knows I have plenty of them. That's the downside of buying these things is I'm stuck with them. Lisa and I, she said, give me your old phones. And I made a pile of them on the kitchen. There was like 9 or 10. And we went to Gazelle, and was a sponsor, but also where we get rid of our stuff. And I think she was able to, a lot of them she couldn't sell, they were too old, but yeah. She was able to get, almost pay for the iPhone 10, let's put it that way, by selling all the old
10
stuff.
10 phones to get one.
Yeah. You'd make more money probably if you did it on eBay. I just don't, who has the patience and time to do all that? Anyway, hello, good to see you.
Good morning.
Happy weekend.
Happy weekend. Always happy for the weekend.
Yeah, except that we work the weekend, but that's okay.
Yeah.
We can live with that.
This is work.
this isn't work, is it?
No, not really.
You say this, you say work, and then somebody who does roofs says, that's not work. That's not
I was
money for nothing.
I was trying to help a woman fish her iPhone out of the duck pond earlier
this week
with the park rangers. Now that was work.
That's work.
That I felt so bad for her. I even tried to call it to see if it would ring from below. Exactly. We were trying to see if it would bubble.
Well, you've been answering phones, I see.
Yeah, well, so Joe in West Palm Beach switched his cell phone provider, and now he can't seem to enable the hotspot.
Everything's a nightmare.
Yeah, now it's not working. The hotspot's not working.
All right, let's see if we can help. Thank you, Kim. 8888 Ask Leo. Call Kim. Say hi. That's what Joe did. Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Welcome. You're not the Joe of Joe's Crab Shack, are you? No.
No, I'm not. I am crabby, but no, I'm not.
One of my favorite restaurants. What can I do for you?
Well, I have a problem with my ZTE Grand Max 2 Pro Grande Extravaganza.
Half calf, half decaf.
Yeah,
the twist. Yes.
Yeah.
I know that one.
it's the Z988.
Yeah.
And it's working fine. I did have a couple of issues, and I did get some things straightened out. This week, I thought they might have been preventing me from turning on my hotspot in the settings. So I go into settings, I turn on the hotspot, I try to turn the switch on, and after about 2 minutes, it comes back and says there's a temporary network error.
Who is your new carrier?
T-Mobile.
Okay, so a couple of the carriers, AT&T, Verizon, include the hotspot in their fees. Others require you to pay extra for a hotspot. I don't remember
Cricket does.
Pardon me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cricket does.
Cricket does. Yeah. So, but you're not Cricket anymore, or?
No. I bought a new phone, and I'm speaking to you on the new phone, but.
I'd call T-Mobile.
Two numbers.
I'd call T-Mobile and say, hey, my hotspot's not working. Hotspotting, which is the a very useful ability nowadays to make your phone be a Wi-Fi access point. It uses its data connectivity from the cell network, and then you can connect a laptop or another phone or anything to it as Wi-Fi. And nowadays, it's rare to see a laptop that has LTE built in. And I think that's one of the reasons is they expect you to have it in your phone, and they say, well, they're not going to want to pay for two subscriptions, so we'll just have it, you know, your tablet or whatever, connect to your phone. But I think the carrier probably has to enable it. I would just call T-Mobile. There may be one of the things that is your data normal? Are you able to surf the net?
Well, here's what what I went through. So I called Cricket to get the phone unlocked.
Yeah.
So that my SIM card would work. And
on the ZTE Grand X Max 2 with a half calf
Grande.
Yeah. It is a rather grandiose name, isn't it?
Long, yeah, exactly. So, going through the phone settings, what I noticed after I got the phone working, on T-Mobile, was that the phone number setting, that the phone number was unknown. So I called T-Mobile, and they were able to get the phone programmed, the number programmed into my phone. So now in the settings I see. I thought that might have been it because, you know, maybe if it couldn't recognize the number that it was supposed to be going through the network, the cell network, that it wouldn't turn on because it didn't know what.
No, it's reasonable. I mean, you're taking a phone from another carrier. The other settings that are very important, and maybe T-Mobile walked you through the APN settings. Those are the data settings, and you have to have the proper server and all that. But even then, if hotspotting's not coming on, it's most likely, I would guess, just that T-Mobile needs to activate it. I have hotspot on all my T-Mobile phones. I don't think I pay extra for that. I think that's part of their, you know, you use the bandwidth, but I don't think that's part of their. They don't charge for it. Other companies might charge $10, $20 additionally for it. So I would say this is just a call to T-Mobile saying hotspot's not working. Now, what they may say, what's possible, is, oh, well, it won't work on that ZTE Grand X Max 2 half calf, half decaf with a twist. It may not work with that because, you know, whatever, the radio. This is the challenge of moving a phone from carrier to carrier, or worse, from country to country, is that the phones are designed specifically for carriers in particular regions. And that means the radios, the antennas, and so forth, the APNs, there's software and hardware. And so there's no guarantee if you took a phone, you bought a phone in Korea and you took it to the United States, that it would, there's the carrier lock is the initial thing. That's what you reversed from Cricket. So when you buy a phone from a carrier, the first thing they do is they say, well, you can only use it with us, baby. But the FCC has kind of strong-armed them into, in most cases, unlocking it with some provisions. You have to own the phone outright. You have to be in good standing, that kind of thing. But you can call many carriers, as you did with Cricket, and say, I don't want the carrier lock. I want to be able to use it with another carrier. Sometimes you'll do that for travel, and they'll do a temporary unlock. You can call Verizon and say, hey, I'm going overseas. I'd like to use a SIM card from overseas. Would you mind? And they'll say, yeah, for our next month you can do that. And then, of course, we're going to revert. But that's just the first step, is unlocking it. So now you can put another SIM in there. But will that SIM do all the things you expect? Well, maybe or maybe not. Depends on software and hardware. Hardware, that's my point, I guess, is there may be hardware limitations of that ZTE phone that keep it from hotspotting. If you get data and the data is full speed, probably not. But I don't know enough about, you know, what maybe T-Mobile says, well, you can only do it on 800 megahertz. I don't know what their rules are. So that's why a call to them is the best. Hey, coming up, Home Theater with Scott Wilkinson. Stay tuned. Our king of sound and vision, Mr. Scott Wilkinson, is here, home theater guru, editor at the avsforum.com. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Leo. How you doing?
I got the Apple TV 4K. That kind of crazy day yesterday.
Yeah, you've been acquiring.
Yeah, well, it's part of the job, and it's
part of the job.
It's not as fun as it sounds, especially when you see your credit card bill at the end of the month.
Sometimes it is, but then you see your credit card bill.
So I got the Apple 4K TV, I got the Apple iPhone 10, and I got the new Google Pixel Book, all of which came yesterday.
Smokes.
Yeah, it was a kind of a crazy day, but I just wanted, because this is our home theater segment, mention that boy, oh boy, does that look good.
Well, there's some really great stuff to recommend the Apple TV 4K. I haven't gotten mine yet. I'm about to, and I really want to, because everybody says, with one kind of big exception, it's really an amazing box. It's kind of the Roku killer almost.
Yeah, it feels a little more polished than Roku. Of course, I have all 4K, so I got as you know, because you told me to get it. Mm-hmm. You even calibrated it. I have that nice LG OLED, the 65-inch B6.
B6, yeah.
Yeah, because I was too cheap to get the high-end one. I got the...
I don't think you should, because the panels are all the same.
Yeah, I'm happy with what I got.
So there's no reason, except for if you want the industrial design of the more expensive one.
No, because what you don't want to see is the industrial design. You want to see the TV.
Exactly.
You don't care. So I got that, and I got and people should be aware of this. The next thing you have to do is upgrade everything, all the inputs, because if you got a 4K TV, you want 4K inputs. So I got a new AV receiver, I got a new Chromecast Ultra, I got a new Roku Ultra, I got a Shield TV from NVIDIA. All of these are 4K.
Man,
yeah. I have everything plugged into this because I have to test everything.
Exactly.
I like the Shield TV, by the way. That's a really nice box.
But everybody says so. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's $200. The Apple TV, 170 with the 32K and if 32 gigs.
Yeah.
And if you get 64 gigs, it's $200. So it's the same price. It is polished. It's a beautiful polished thing. And I have to say, the interface is immediately 4K. It's crisp. It feels like your eyes are hurting almost. It's so crisp.
Well, here's the thing about that, and the one problem that you haven't encountered, and that's good, but it's this. In the current software, the TV OS, everything, the TV, the Apple TV 4K upconverts everything to whatever your TV can do. So it goes out and it communicates with the TV and it says, what are your capabilities? What's your resolution? Do you have HDR? Do you have Dolby Vision? What maximum frame rate can you handle? And then it sets itself to do everything that way. So if you were to stream an HD signal that had only SDR, standard dynamic range, it would upconvert all that to 4K.
Yeah.
And the upconversion in the Apple TV isn't necessarily the best. Plus, it would, if your TV can handle 60 frames per second, which it can, it will take 24 frame per second movies, which virtually all movies are, and upconvert those to 60 frames per second. And that can cause some problems. I've also read problems where people connect it to certain TVs and they go, oh, HDR looks really dull, but SDR looks much better. Apple has addressed this problem, or will soon address this problem. They already have been working on a firmware update, TV OS 11.2, which is currently in beta, which does what's called auto switching.
Yeah, I think they did. That upgrade comes out soon. And
so very soon.
11.2. We're at 11.1 now. So,
yes, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah. And I really recommend you get that, because then what that does is that just takes whatever content it's getting from whichever service you're connected to, Netflix or whatever, or this is iTunes, and passes it on as it is, as its original native characteristics are, to the TV, and lets the TV deal with it.
Yeah.
And the TV has a better processor, probably.
Does it now? It only supports Dolby Vision of the HDR standards.
No, it does HDR 10.
It does do HDR 10.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't see, I have to say, I one of the nice things Apple does is they upgrade some of the movies that you have in your library that you've purchased. If they have 4K HDR versions, they will upgrade automatically. You'll just get
beautiful for no extra cost.
Yeah. So I had Deadpool. So I saw that was HDR. It doesn't. Now, I don't know what this means. It doesn't, you know, normally when I watch an HDR signal, my TV will say in the corner, HDR.
Right.
I didn't notice that.
Really?
Yeah. Now, maybe it's HDR from the moment you turn it on. So maybe I'm not seeing it because
it's not switching.
Yeah, right. It's not switching. It stayed. Exactly. It's HDR. And I guess I don't see the HDR because it's warming up or whatever.
Right.
Is that,
right,
you think, possible?
That's certainly possible. Okay. Absolutely. Because
it sure
said,
looked good.
Oh, yeah.
You know what looks great in HDR, by the way? Stranger Things. No spoilers here, but the second season, there is in the second season a place where two characters are sitting brightly lit in a black, dark, room. And that's where you really see the HDR thing. I watched it on both standard dynamic range and high dynamic range sets. Yep. We have a very nice Panasonic Viera that does render blacks quite well.
Yeah,
it's a plasma screen. Yep. But boy, when you see it on the HDR, it's just there's something about it. It's velvety, and it really, and especially in a darkened room where basically it looks like the two lighted figures are popping out of nowhere.
Exactly. HDR can look almost three-dimensional without having stupid glasses.
Yeah, I feel like having used 4K TiVo, I got a Bolt Plus. I got everything 4K on that except the Apple TV. Now that I have the Apple TV on there 4K, that is probably going to be the device of choice. It really does seem to do a better job. You know, somehow, I can't quantify it. You're going to have to come back with your screen measurement utilities. But it seems to do a very, very good job.
It does. It does. And especially when you get that next firmware update. Then you'll see even more improvement, particularly if you happen to watch older content. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and I haven't watched a lot of older content yet. My eyes are still going.
Why would you?
It's fun to go back through your library of purchased films and find there's surprisingly large number of HD. I was hoping Avatar, for instance, would be upgraded, but it's not. But it's too old.
They would have to regrade that.
They'd have to regrade it. Not, I didn't expect HDR, but I was hoping maybe 4K, but no.
Yeah, no. But the Apple has done a brilliant thing, as you said, which is if you already own a movie and now it's available in a higher, better format,
they'll just upgrade you for free. That's really awesome. And of course, Apple's always looked great in Netflix, and rather vice versa. Netflix always look good on Apple TV.
Yep.
Because I'm told Apple hosts the Netflix stuff locally. At Apple's servers. In other words,
that's interesting.
Yeah, Netflix will do that with a lot of ISPs. They'll put a box in there. But Apple's using their Akamai high-speed network. And I think that's costly to them to do this, by the way, so that you get not merely a more local copy, but more importantly, you get a high-speed copy so that you get the – if you've got the bandwidth Right. It's on a 100 megabit connection for me.
Right.
It will give you all the bandwidth, and you'll get, I think, a better looking HDR signal.
Wow. So. That's I didn't know that, actually. I have to look into that.
Oh, but
that's,
boy, it looks good.
If they're doing it, then that's really good.
Yeah. So, really? You know, everything has Netflix, including my TiVo. But
of
I think,
course.
But that's, I guess that's the measure of it, is what device you choose, if you've got the choice to watch, say, HDR content on Netflix, and it's definitely the Apple TV.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just used up your whole segment. So thank you, Scott, and we'll see. Scott Wilkinson, love talking home theater with you. Thank you, Scott. Read his works at avsforum.com. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More calls to come. Hey, you want to stick around?
Oh, you bet.
You want to do more? All right.
Love to do more.
Let's get more Scott Wilkinson. Yeah, I have to say, I didn't expect it to be any better than any of the other 4K things. But
well, you know what? That your whole thing you just said about maybe Apple hosts on their own servers and allows higher
speed. I use Akamai for Netflix, and I do think that makes it better.
I bet you it does.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm on Comcast. I don't know if Comcast allows Apple to put a server in there. I feel like it doesn't, but I'll have to look and see. Most ISPs have that nice thing, which is that Netflix does, and that really does make a difference in terms of speed.
I'll have to look into that. I had not heard that before, and if so, I want to let people know that. I just wrote a piece on AVS about this new firmware update. A lot of people had been complaining about when the Apple TV 4K menu looking kind of dull, and switching to SDR makes it look better.
It looks so good now. Holy cow. It is razor sharp. I don't know if that's...
And the colors look vivid, bright.
Oh, I didn't look
at the menu.
No, maybe the colors aren't vivid and bright. That's interesting. In the UI screen.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, that may not. That may be the case. I don't know.
A lot of people are complaining about it. Fewer with OLEDs, with LG OLEDs in particular.
Yeah.
Or with Samsung LCD TVs. But not only Samsung, Sony's as well. But very few people have complained about it with LG OLEDs. So I don't know. I still don't quite know what's going on with that. It's a very odd thing. I'm expecting that the 11.2 update may very well fix it. But we'll see.
Apple
decided, you know what, we're going to find out what the TV's maximum capabilities are and send everything in that format. And people started complaining, and so now they've got this 11.2. So we'll see if that fixes it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I also wanted to let you know, anybody listening, that I saw Thor Ragnarok at Dolby.
And did
Dolby
you enjoy
Vision.
It?
Oh yeah, it was great. It was great. I love the Marvel universe. You know, more than the DC universe. That's just my personal preference, but it's
I'm a
hilarious.
DC guy myself.
You're more of a DC guy.
Yeah, Superman and Batman are my...
Justice League coming up.
Yeah, I don't really like comic book movies, though.
They're
certainly, for you, because they use the most, you know, they use the best effects, right? So
Tremendous. Lots of CGI, obviously.
Ragnarok looked funny. Was it funny?
It's hilarious.
Okay.
It's really funny.
I like them if they're comedic.
Yeah, this one is very comedic. And it looks gorgeous in Dolby Vision.
Oh,
in
HDR. I guess I better go see it.
Oh, man. To see it in Dolby Vision, you're going to have to go to San Francisco. And you know what? That reminds me. I've been meaning to. Would you be willing? I've been talking with the Dolby guys about getting you down to their office. They have a Dolby Cinema in their office.
Yeah, I'll
as
do
well
it.
As,
sure.
I've
been there. I've been into their offices. They were just around the corner from Tech TV. In fact,
I think that was a long time ago.
I told this story, that I was walking by and they said, Leo. and they pulled me in for an A-B comparison between MP3 and uncompressed audio that was quite interesting because they have a very nice sound room as well in there.
Yeah, I'd
do that.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Because they now have a Dolby Cinema, presentation or demo room there. And I think they've moved since those days.
Yeah,
they're still down. They're still kind of. I guess what do you call
Can
that?
Can you stick around for the top?
Yeah, yeah.
All
happy
right.
to.
We'll talk in a moment. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. One thing I haven't done, and somebody in the chat room is saying, you should look at some HDR, high dynamic range. That's all the rage, by the way. Scott and I were talking about this, and I probably should have defined it for people who aren't as obsessive about their video as we've become. High dynamic range. So as you know, the original television, we call standard definition, was about 400 lines of resolution from top to bottom. That's your old, you know, RCA Philco TV, 400, and didn't really improve much for a long time until high def came out. First seen in Japan at NHK in the Japanese broadcaster, and then it slowly filtered out. And I don't know, when would everything go HD? It was maybe 10, 15, 20 now years ago. It took a while for content to catch up, but pretty much that became the standard. Even television stations went HD, remember? So HD, which is 1,080 lines from top to bottom, became all the rage. Interlaced, yeah, that's 1080i. On a good screen with good source material, you might get 1080 progressive, which means you've got twice as many lines and even better looking than 1080i. And then, of course, along comes UHD, Ultra HD, which is twice as good in both dimensions. That's why they sometimes call it 4K, because it's instead of 1080 lines from top to bottom, it's 2160 lines from top to bottom. Double it, 2000 plus 100. 2160 lines from top to bottom, and doubled also in resolution from left to right. So that's ultra high definition. But the most recent step, and really a big step, same resolution, but something called high dynamic range. And if you play with photography, you might have seen HDR photography, where people will take multiple images. Let's say a sunset. You know, the problem with a sunset is it's very bright where the sun is and very dark where the beach is. Your eyes adjust, and you don't even really know it. When you're looking at the sun, your pupils dilate, and you can see it. When you look down, your pupils quickly open up, and you can see the sand. And you don't even notice that's happening, so it feels like you can see both the sun and the sand. And you wonder when you take a picture, well, golly, if I expose for the sun, now the beach is just black. And if I expose for the beach, the sun is just, boom, too bright. So what high dynamic range in photography does is it takes multiple images with multiple exposures. It exposes for the sand, exposes for the sun, and then you use software to merge them together so that you can see it all. And in fact, it's a higher dynamic range than your eye can see, but it appears to be more like what you thought you saw, because of the pupil dilation, right? So that's in a still image. Well, they can do the same thing in a video image and make the blackers darker, the blacks darker and the whites whiter, and everything in between. And so you have an expand, instead of having a kind of a narrow range from the darkest to the brightest, you have an expanded range from the darkest to the brightest, and it looks more realistic. It's more what you think you're seeing with your eyes. We can argue about whether you're actually seeing it, but it's more what you feel. If it's more rich, more elaborate, more. And in fact, many would argue, I think Scott agrees with me, I argue that it's a better, it's a more important improvement than even 4K. You have to have 4K to get HDR, because that's how the manufacturers are doing it. But if you had an ultra high, if you had a HD signal with HDR, I think it would look better too. I mean, it makes a huge difference. The higher resolution screen, especially if you're not right up in front of it, doesn't make as much a difference. But combine the two, you've got an amazingly vivid display. And that's when you go to a good movie theater, you're seeing that. And now that you can see it at home, boy, it does make a difference. I'm very fond of it, I must say. On we go to the next call of the day, which is Daniel in Huntington Beach, California. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, Leo. How are you doing?
I am well. How are you?
Doing good. I want to say thank you. I've been watching you since Screensavers.
Huh. 1998 to 2004. Those were the days.
Yeah, and then you saved my job a couple times.
I did?
I had a boss one time say, you know, I don't care about the work you do here, but I'm just glad you know technology and you can help us.
Right on. Right on. Well, I'm glad we could help.
That's awesome. So my wife is a stay-at-home mom. She is a director running a homeschooling website to help people kind of get into it and then go to college.
Super cool. What's the website?
It's called HECOA, HECOA.com, Home Education Council of America.
Got it. HECOA.
So it's awesome. She's helping special needs. And so what she does is she puts videos, like help videos on Vimeo. And subscribers are able
why
to
not, watch. Why not YouTube, just out of curiosity?
I think it's just the security that Vimeo offers. With
I like Vimeo. The only reason more people don't use Vimeo is because you have to pay money to put stuff up there. But Vimeo has higher quality, for instance. So I can understand that. If she's got the budget to do that, that's great. HECOA.com.
Hecoa. Yeah, thank Hecoa. You.
Nice.
So she wants to make it more accessible to her subscribers to do audio only. And she doesn't know how to do that to give it just to her subscribers. But she does have some free stuff. She puts out on Facebook. And
I see what you're saying. She wants basically a subscription-only audio feed. So,
yes.
And this is always a challenge because, well, I don't do it because I have a technologically literate audience that would immediately just download the audio and give it to their friends. So, and I don't want to play whack-a-mole. So we give away everything because we figure, well, there's no way I can stop people from giving it away anyway. So I'm not going to do that. So I'm not an expert on subscription-only audio and video, but certainly there are a lot of companies that offer this kind of thing. I would look at something called Spreaker, which is a weird name. S-P, like speaker with an R in it in the middle. S-P-R-E-A-K-E-R. They have, a similar service to Vimeo, but for audio only. And I believe they have a subscription plan, you know, so that you can lock people out if they haven't paid. I believe they do offer that. They also have a lot of other features like rolling in ads if you wanted to make some money on it and that kind of thing.
We don't do ads, but we have a free tier also, so it'd be nice to be able
they
to.
They do both.
Allow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Who else? Let me think of who else. Oh, yeah. John's reminding me. John's our studio engineer, so he keeps up on this stuff. How the heck do you pronounce that, John? Kling? Clink, C-L-E-E-N-G, sell your videos live and on demand. Now, this is video, but remember, audio is just video without pictures. A lot of people do this on YouTube. They'll have just a static picture or an occasional slideshow with the audio behind it. And then people could still listen as if it was just audio only. So this company does this as well, too, and they have security built. You want somebody that does security, obviously, because, as I said, the biggest challenge here is if you have a – I mean, I think for homeschooling, you probably have a very benign, nice group of people who are not going to steal from you. So that's probably not – you know, you're not going to have to play the whack-a-mole game that others might have to play. But it's still good to have some security. So there's a couple of things. Spreaker – which I like a lot, and then Kling, which I'm not familiar with, but John tells me is good. C-L-E-E-N-G, sell your videos live and on demand. And there are probably other solutions as well. We'll come up with some more and put them in our show notes for free at techguylabs.com. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I started to talk about, but I end up diving into the morass of HDR, what HDR is, Scott. I feel bad now.
that's fine.
But I thought, you know, God, I better probably explain this. But I started to get in. What I was getting to was that one of our chatters said that HDR looks great on the new iPhone X.
You know, I've heard that there are now a few phones that do HDR.
Yeah.
I have a hard time. I mean, sure, I'm sure it looks great.
But it's this tiny screen.
It's a tiny screen, and you're usually looking at it in a bright, high ambient light environment.
Right.
And the benefit of HDR is lost in that.
Oh, that's interesting. Really. Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, your eyes are not your pupils are closed down somewhat, so you're not really seeing all the benefit of HDR.
Huh.
When for the ideal HDR situation, you need to be in a really dark room to see the most out of it that you can.
Right.
So I find it interesting that some phone makers have, you know, started to make their screens HDR. It's, to me, it's very much like listening to high-res audio in a car.
Yeah.
Right? You've got a high noise, high ambient noise level in the car. And high-resolution audio has an extended dynamic range, essentially.
Right.
But you can't hear it in a car. Or when you've got a little portable thing and you're jogging or something.
This looks pretty good, though. I have to admit, I'm looking at a 4K YouTube video. Mm-hmm. It may just be the 4K. I don't know about the HDR, but it I have to say, it's
YouTube
such a,
does do HDR.
Yeah,
but I don't
no,
know.
This is an HDR because I searched for 4K HDR. It looks
pretty good.
Looks pretty damn good. You're not seeing, of course. You're seeing it on Skype,
I'm
and everybody
seeing
else
a little
is seeing
Skype thing,
a 720p non-HDR stream.
Right.
But looking at it here, well, it's crisp as heck. I mean, at least that. I don't know. There's not a big. None of this stuff has a lot of dark in it, so I don't know.
Well, and that's another problem with a lot of demo material,
right?
Of course, this is just you just picked something from YouTube, so it could. There's some dark stuff in there. There's some shadow detail in the mountains.
Yeah, I still have to work on this user interface. I don't.
I've still got a six.
You're fine. One of the things talking about this, I feel bad because I'm not trying to make people feel bad about what they've got.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Yeah, you can't tell. I mean, I don't know.
You can't really.
There you go. There's something with some dark, but it looks good. What can I say? If you really wanted to have it look good, you'd have to put it like right here.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then turn out the lights. It's not normal.
Nah, you're not going to do that.
Not normal. All right. I'm sorry to use up more of your time. Here you go. You got 333 right. fine seconds.
Fine seconds to go. Thank you very much. iPhone 64822. Home Theater Geek sadly had to be canceled purely for economic reasons. I'm working on reinstating it, resurrecting
it. Our fault, not Scott's.
Well, you kept telling me it was a great show, and
I love the show. Nothing wrong with the show.
It was just a purely economics.
Yeah,
we couldn't afford it. Sell ads into it to pay for it. So, I understand that it's a business decision.
Yeah.
So I'm working on reinstating it under the AVS umbrella. AVS.
Yay! I hope that happens. That would
we're
be
gonna
so
do that.
Great.
I think they're
open to that.
Yeah, they are.
Good.
Yeah, we're just looking at different ways to do it,
and we're going to help you. We'll give you your feed and everything, and
I sure appreciate
the assets and all that stuff.
Yeah. We're actually talking about using Google Hangout, and
that's a good way to do it. We did that with
that
Trey Ratcliffe for a while. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I've just learned recently that there's some other podcasts and you can do lower thirds, for example, which is kind of important. We're now trying to figure out how to do live streaming and also a chat room for which we need a moderator. And so we've got a lot of moderators on AVS forums. So
sure there are plenty of mods from our chat room who'd love to help you out too.
So. Oh, well, okay, chat room mods here. Maybe some of you would be willing to help me out.
I guarantee it, yeah.
Okay, well, that's good. And I don't know how to establish an IRC channel, for example, whether or not that's the way to go, or does Google Hangouts have commenting? And could that be moderated? You know, there's just several things to work out yet.
Yeah. There are certainly ways to do this. We used to use something called TalkShoe. This was audio only. And you might consider, by the way, in fact, I'd strongly encourage you not to do video. Video is an outrageous expense and complicates it. And do you need video?
Well, we talk about such technical things, and it's always great to be able to
show stuff.
Show graphics that illustrate what we're talking about.
Okay.
On the other hand, you're right. As I recall, I think you or Lisa or somebody told me that, the vast majority of people listen to Home Theater Geeks as audio only.
Yeah. For most of our shows, that's the case.
Yeah, exactly. So that may not be necessary to do video. Although Google Hangouts, makes it pretty easy, seems to me.
But then
we have our weekly meetings that way.
Yeah, that's true. Everybody has to have a camera, although everybody does now, right? So
yeah, on their laptop. It still means I have to, go through the process of testing them before, is your lighting good? Is your framing good?
Right.
That kind of thing. It takes more time. No, you're exactly right about that. So, you know, that's another option, is just to go audio, in which case it'd be simple.
Yeah, there are a lot. TalkShoe and other services allow you to have a chat room plus an audio feed.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ways to do that. More maybe perhaps than that. What? Alex Gumpel is weighing in. He's not weighing in.
I was going to ask you something.
Oh. Okay, go ahead. I'll give it to you. I'm sorry I'm bothering you here.
Yeah, no problem. CO Bra says, why not just use YouTube? It has chat. There's YouTube TV, YouTube Live, I think now, right? I still have to do a little more research into this. I suspect I'll probably get it going after CES. Give me a little break here, folks. Doing a weekly show is a lot of work, and I did it for 8 years almost. So I'm enjoying a little time off, to tell you the truth. I want to get it back, of course. Don't get me wrong. It's a great, fun thing to do, and it's people really like it, and so I want to do it. And I'm just working my way back into it in a reasonable way. We've been talking in the chat room about Planet Earth 2 and also Blue Planet 2. Apparently, BBC has done that one as well now. My question is, why would they do – and those are both from BBC. So why would we do Planet Earth – why would they do Planet Earth 2 and Blue Planet 2? I mean, I guess you can't get enough nature photography, but it just seems like a little redundant, but hey, I hadn't heard of Blue Planet 2, so I'm going to check that out for sure. And I don't know whether that's streaming only. Somebody sent me a link to it, so I'm definitely gonna check that out.
Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smart watches, 88 Ask Leo. That's the number if you want to talk high tech. And of course, the iPhone X, which I was kind of pleasantly surprised to get yesterday. I didn't think I would. I thought I was going to have to wait in line. And my very generous wife said, oh, look, actually, you might check, because apparently Apple's getting these out to people faster than they originally said. She thought she wasn't going to get her iPhone X until November 10th. She checked at the Apple store, and it said online, and it said, oh, yeah, it's coming Friday. What? A week early. So, Lisa, thank you for letting me use your iPhone until mine comes in a week or two. but I have to say, in fact, I think she's feeling bad now that she's seen it. She's going, that's nice. It's small. I think one of the things people don't maybe understand is it's screen size, while technically larger, measured corner to corner, than the iPhone 7 Plus and 8 Plus, the big iPhones, which are 5.5 inches, and Apple's quoting a 5.8-inch screen on this, it isn't bigger. In fact, it's really kind of somewhat midway between the iPhone 8 and the iPhone 8 Plus, or the 7 and the 7 Plus, partly because of the rounded corners, but also partly because of this notch that everybody's talked about at the top of the screen. And the controls at the bottom of the screen take up space. And so as a result, when you nibble away at the top and the bottom, you really have a screen that's somewhat smaller than the iPhone 8 Plus. And certainly physically the phone, because it's all screen, is smaller. So I think this – I'd be interested to see how people react to this, but I think this might be the sweet spot, frankly, for phone size. Easy to handle, easy to hold. You can operate it with one thumb, which I think a lot of people want to do. I never really understood that, but I guess there's a lot of strap hangers on the subway, or you know, people are doing something with their other hand, typing or whatever, and they want to be able to operate the phone with one hand, and you pretty much can. I don't have giant hands. It's not too hard. The screen is gorgeous, and somebody in the chat room said you ought to look at a 4K HDR video on the screen, and I have to admit it does look very good. I don't think this is a 4K screen. I think it's somewhere in between. I'll have to look at the resolution. But, you know, what do those numbers matter if it looks good to you, right? If your eyes say, wow, and I think your eyes will say, wow. Now, do not break this phone. As Apple said, the screen repair without insurance is $60? $259? Wow. And other repairs are even more expensive. This is an expensive phone to replace, not surprising. So I would suggest looking at a case. I always, before when I get a new phone, this has become my habit now, is I get one of those clear kind of plastic shells that you put the thing in. It doesn't hide the phone particularly. You can still see it, but it does a fairly decent job of protecting it. The problem, of course, is nothing's going to protect this screen. And I actually am curious what you think. I don't put those tempered glass screen protectors people put on their phone. I don't do that. And has it been your experience that protects the screen? I don't like putting anything between me and the screen, especially a screen that looks this good. That is a good-looking screen. I was ready to hate this phone. I'll be honest with you. I was worried about the notch at the top, about the new user interface, the lack of a fingerprint reader, which works so well. Touch ID. I mean, Apple really got us used to the idea of quickly unlocking our phone by just tapping the home button with our finger. This Face ID works very quickly and very easily, to the point where you don't even really know. You don't really feel like you've done anything. The phone just unlocks and you swipe it up and you're good to go, which is pretty impressive. I'm sure over time, you know, you don't learn to hate a phone right away, right? When you get when you first get a new toy, you like it. And then over the days and weeks and months of using it, you figure out what the problems are. I think that's why Apple was very reluctant to give anybody too much time with this phone before it came out. They wanted the reviews to say all the things I've been saying. Wow, this user interface, it's okay. And boy, is that screen gorgeous. And I didn't really mind the notch. And that's what they all said. That's what every one of them said. Face ID works great. So tune in over the next few weeks and I'll probably have a more accurate assessment of whether this is the phone to get. But for right now, it sure feels like this is a massive step forward for Apple. This is the next thing. And, you know, I'm comparing it to, say, a Note 8, which is the Samsung. It's probably my favorite Android right now. I haven't got the new Google phones, and the ones I've played with, I'm a little disappointed in the quality of the screens. But the Note 8, nobody could complain about the screen. It's a great phone, beautiful phone. I'm not crazy about the fingerprint reader on the back. It's poorly positioned. But if you want an Android phone, I think the Note 8 right now is the one to get. But this iPhone X is a worthy rival. Let's put it that way. A worthy competitor. Both do wireless charging, which is nice. I'm using... this is a standard, so it's nice. I'm using the Galaxy Note charger, the fast charger from Samsung. Works just fine on the iPhone. Any charger that uses the QI protocol for wireless charging, that's called Qi, will work just fine. The ones I like the best and would recommend if you're new to wireless charging, either on an iPhone or an Android phone, are the ones that are like easels, the stand-up ones. My favorite, actually, is the Vue, V-U, from Tilt, T-Y-L-T. It's $30. It's a little easel, a little plastic easel. You can't put the phone in wrong. If you put it on the easel, it will charge. It doesn't come off. By the way, the Galaxy Fast Charge is kind of like that, too. It's got a kind of rubberized surface that the phone doesn't slide on, and it has a little lip. The easel style seems to me to work the best. People complain of the hockey puck style chargers. The phone slips off, and I have to say, yeah, I'm a little less enamored of those. That's what, if you had wireless charging experience in the past, you probably had one of those where you had to get the phone on just right. If it wasn't exactly in position, it wouldn't charge. I don't like those as much. Don't get that. Don't get the ones that Apple has in the Apple Store or the one Apple's coming out with, because they're going to come out with a flat pad charger. I don't know why. I like the easel chargers. Those are the ones you should go for. The Galaxy Fast Charge is really nice. Works with both phones. I really, of all of them, I like the VU from TYLT, VU. We're putting all this stuff on. I just don't, people, I see people, I see you driving and writing. Don't write. I got you back on this. We'll put all the show notes up on the website for free at techguylabs.com. You can go there and, you know, everything I've mentioned, all the links, I'll put I'll make that my product pick of the week, the view, the tilt view. We have a product pick of the week and a tip of the week every week. The website is techguylabs.com. And you can go there. Each show has its own page. This is episode 1436. You go right to that page. That's then divided up into hours. There's 3 hours for each show, hour one, two, and three. And then each hour is divided up into segments like this or calls, like what's going to happen in a minute, or Scott Wilkinson. And any links, any notes, anything we talk about. James DeRuvo, hi, James, is writing that all down. He's putting up on the website. And then Josh Windisch will come in tomorrow, and he'll put the audio up and the video up from the show, and he'll make sure everything matches up. So you can actually listen to any individual question or watch any individual question, listen to my answer, watch my answer, and see the text, and comment. Oh, I forgot that. Well, I encourage you to do that. If you're listening and you say, hey, I got a better charger, I really like this charger or that charger, don't buy this charger, anything like that. We'd love if you go to the website, techguylabs.com, and add your comments. And there's no charge for any of this. It's absolutely free. There's no subscription. I don't want your email address. We do require you log in with your Twitter or Google or Facebook if you're leaving a comment, just to avoid spam. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Your call's coming up. All right. Let me talk about the tracker. Actually, I got a new phone, so I can show you the process of getting my tracker to work with my phone. Where are we here? Tracker is a fabulous device that lets you stop looking for the things you've lost. See, this is my most important set of keys. This has my car key on it, the fob to get into the station, my home key, my post office box key, and my Yuba key that lets me unlock, you know, my LastPass and stuff. So I don't want to lose this. So what else is on here? Tracker. The tracker is a coin-sized Bluetooth LE device. You pair to your phone. You can pair up to 10 tracking devices to your phone, and then you attach it to your keys or your briefcase or your luggage or your bicycle or anything you don't want to lose. This is so phenomenal. So I'm going to launch the tracker software here. And yes, make data available nearby Bluetooth devices. Oh, look, it already saw it. Oh, that was easy. Pair it. Okay. Now, my key, and it shows a map of where it saw it last, right? Right here, obviously. If I, the two-way separation alerts by themselves are fantastic. If I leave the keys behind, my phone yells at me. If I leave the phone behind, the keys yell at me. If I lose the keys, I press a button on the tracker app, and the key starts making a sound. And by the way, this is the tracker Pixel, which has LED lights. So if it fell under the bed, I should attach it. I could attach it to my AirPods. I would find it. I want to show you this. I'm going to turn on notifications. Now, you don't turn these on unless you've lost a device. There are 2,272 tracker devices nearby in this area. The notification settings are on. If I lose my keys and somebody takes them and puts them somewhere else, I'll see a map of where the last time the phone saw the keys. But remember, it's Bluetooth, not GPS. So when the phone leaves the area, the keys are on their own. But anytime anybody with those 2,272 tracker devices walks by my keys, it sends me a notification saying your keys, I see your keys, and it puts it up on the map. That's the world's largest crowd locate network, and it's amazing. TRACKR, tracker. Go to thetracker.com, thetracker.com/techguy, and we'll save you 20% off. You're going to load up your shopping cart with all the tracker stuff. They've got the tracker, the original tracker Bravo, which is anodized aluminum, the new tracker Pixel, which has the LED lights in it. It is so awesome. And so the story was, I lost my keys in my jacket. I have a Scotty vest with about 27 pockets. And I thought I lost my keys. I was at a show. And I went back to the bar and I was looking and I asked the bartender, did you find any keys? And finally I thought, oh, I forgot. I have the tracker on here. I pressed the tracker button. My keys are in my pocket. And it saved me, though. I have to admit, it saved me. I didn't have to. They're in a pocket I just couldn't find. Even if you lose your keys in your jacket, the tracker is awesome. Go to thetracker.com/techguy and save 20% off on your order. Load it up. Get Tracker Bravos. Get the new Tracker Pixel. They work on pets. You can get the waterproof case. It is fantastic. Here's the Tracker Bravo. I'll show you that. This can be engraved with anodized aluminum. I actually have that in attached to my backpack. It's light, size of a quarter. Oh, one more thing I love about these. Unlike those other guys, you can replace the battery in the Tracker. So this one's been in use about 8 months. I see the battery's about halfway used because you see a battery alert on the phone. It tells you how much battery's left. So I don't have to throw it out when it's done. It's those little coin-sized batteries you get at the drugstore. Put a new battery in. Boom, I'm good to go. I love it. TheTracker.com/techguy. Save 20% right now. And we thank him so much for making the Tech Guy podcast possible. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy, 8888. Ask Leo. That's the phone number. Going to line four right now. That's David. He's on the line from Texas. Hi, David.
Hello. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing great today. It's a little warm, but other than that,
I think that's nice. That's why you live in Texas, right?
Well,
maybe not, huh?
A happenstance of birth.
Where in Texas?
Wichita Falls.
All right. I always thought that was in Kansas, so what do I know?
No, well, we have a falls.
Oh, you got the falls. Oh, see, it worked out that way. Yeah, nice. Wow. Nice.
Although they had to make one.
It's not a real fall?
No, well, it is now, but they had, what's the guy from the Today Show that used to do the weather? He came down there and did the weather here. Anyway.
Wait a minute. They called it Wichita Falls before there was a waterfall?
Well, when it was first started, there was a small falls, but it went away through the years. I mean, this is like a couple hundred years ago.
So. Oh, I got it. Okay. You know, those old timers, they did all kinds of crazy things. What can I do for you?
Well, I'm suffering not under UI confusion, but eye confusion.
We were talking off the air during the spot. We have a visitor who teaches navigation of the Coast Guard. I just wanted to read him an article from Ars Technica about why the McCain had a collision. You remember the U.S. naval vessel collided in Singapore, and it was basically confusion over user interface. This stuff is so computerized now, they lost track of who was steering. So that's UI confusion. What's your confusion?
I've got Windows 10, which I've really enjoyed. I believe the version I have is 11.07, but it's saying something about doing an update. But apparently, I don't have the latest Windows 10. So
it wouldn't be 11.07. Well, maybe it's 11.07. That would be, you'd be very far behind. The current version of Windows 10 is the Fall Creators Update, which is 17.09.
Now, mine's 17.07.
Oh, three, might be 17.03, which is the previous update. Yeah, okay. There's a newer update.
Okay. Well, anyway, I tried to do the update, and it'll go along slowly, but then all of a sudden it's like, something went wrong. It doesn't say what. It says something went wrong. So I do it again, and this time it seemed like it was going to go all the way through until it gets a little green window comes up.
And it restores you to the old version.
No, it says that I have to manually remove Roxio Backup My PC.
Ah.
So I went into the control panel, and there was a Roxio thing there, so I removed it. That didn't help. So I did a search through the entire computer, and I came across a few Roxio things.
Yeah.
But it won't let me delete.
So I know what's going on here. So the Fall Creators Update 17.09, which you're trying to install, does not allow you to use some older 32-bit software. And this is actually a good thing. These are the same thing is happening with iOS, too. The older software, because it uses an older subsystem and is incompatible. Now, normally, the way this works with Microsoft, they won't even offer you 17.09. You won't even get the upgrade if you're not ready. It does it makes sure you're completely compatible. Did you force the upgrade, or did it actually?
No, it pops up on my screen.
It popped up. All right. So in theory, it's okay, but it does sound like you're running into an issue of conflicting drivers or conflicting DLLs. I'm going to guess it's drivers. Those are hard to remove. And Roxio does do that because I don't know if the backup would do that, but Roxio has its own drivers for burning DVDs and CDs, and it does install alternative disk drivers on there, and obviously Windows doesn't like it. So there's a couple of ways to go at this. The easiest and best way would be to go to the Roxia website and see if they've created a removal tool.
Okay.
A lot of companies, any company that installs something deep in the operating system, so deep that it can't be just uninstalled, and antiviruses come to mind, can't really be easily uninstalled. So you have to, they give you a removal tool, which will require a reboot and so forth, to get those drivers out of there. So the first thing I do, and I don't know that they have one, but if they're causing this kind of problem, they might. Check the Roxia website for an uninstall. You can even Google Roxia uninstaller. And see if somebody has a solution for that. Otherwise, you got to do it manually. The easiest way might be to boot into safe mode. You know, that's the mode. And booting into it usually means holding down the shift key during reboot. And then you'll get a menu, and then you want to boot into safe mode with networking. What safe mode is on Windows is no drivers or minimal drivers. Not even the – and you'll see immediately why – how that looks, because your graphics driver won't load, so your screen will be 640 by 480. It'll look terrible. But because it hasn't, at that point, loaded the Roxio drivers, you can uninstall them. It's hard to uninstall a driver that's running, and that's really the issue, I suspect. So then, in safe mode, look for all that Roxio stuff. Uninstall what you can. You should look in your device manager, see if any of the devices are Roxio. Get rid of those. Particularly pay attention to the CD and DVD device drivers. Get rid of those. This is a lot harder than just finding an uninstaller, Roxio uninstaller, and using that. Try to get it from Roxio. I'd be a little suspicious of third-party uninstallers. Third-party tools in general, some of them are good, some of them are sketch, some of them are created by bad guys to trick you. And you don't want to do that. So try to find the Roxio tool from Roxio. Failing that, safe mode with networking, and go through it and delete it there. You shouldn't have the same deletion problems you have while it's running. That should work. Hey, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I'm going to go down and see the falls next time Willard Scott's down there. Karen in San Pedro, California. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Come on over to the phone. I'm sorry to keep you on hold for so long. I'm such a chatterbox.
Thank you for taking my call. I love listening to you every week, and I learn so much.
Oh, thank you. Bless you. Thank you.
I'm calling because I don't know whether this is a problem that I only have or it's just part of my phone system. I have a Samsung phone and a Samsung tablet. And the tablet is newish, probably maybe 6 months old. And so because the phone and the tablet sync, I think it happened with the tablet came onto the phone. When I try to download attachments, I get a pop-up that asks me to allow the pop-up to have access to my files, my photographs, my media, etc. If I want to open something from Word, it asks, will you allow Word to do this? Yeah. If I say no, I cannot open the file.
Right.
And then on the phone, a friend sends me minutes from a meeting, and it's something called Hansun Media.
Yes. H-A-N-S-O-N. That's a Samsung program, yes.
Okay. And it asks
that's okay. So what's happening, this is the way Android works, is Android used to ask you for all those permissions up front. When you installed a program like the Handcom, it said, I'll need to be doing all this. Now it asks you as needed, kind of like the iPhone mm-hmm. does it. And so that's what's happening. You're trying to open a PDF file. The Handcom loads up because that's the PDF reader on the Samsung device. And it says, well, before I can read this, you have to give me access to your file system and photos and various things. That's all for its functionality. The key is to make sure it is a legitimate program. If it's the Handcom program, that's from Samsung, that's fine. And in most cases, it'll be a Samsung program. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Saw that before.
Yeah, so that's the trick is to – what you don't want to – obviously, you're right to say, whoa, wait a minute. I'm not going to give this guy permission because you don't know who it is. That's good. I don't want to discourage that.
Everything, yeah.
Yeah, no, good. You've learned from this show. That's absolutely fantastic. But – in order for some functionality, you have to give it permission.
And how do I know it's a legit ask?
Well, the Handcom, Hancom stuff is from Samsung. That's what they call their PDF reader, their media reader. That comes with the phone. You never had to, you know, never gave it permission before because you didn't install it. It was pre-installed. And
right.
And so it, you know, that's fine. But do be careful. And when you see, it should say who it is and make sure it's something, A, you installed, and B, that it came from a reliable source. The Hancom.
The other one is asking for Windows, asking for permission. So I
yeah, Microsoft's okay. We should let Microsoft have permission.
Okay, so Hancom and Windows are okay.
Yeah,
okay.
those are both fine.
Okay, all right.
All right. Thanks. Okay. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
He's been everywhere, man. Johnny Jett, our travel guru, joins us, visiting us from his home in beautiful Manhattan Beach. Where the weather is perfect, the sun is shining, and beach volleyball awaits.
You got that right.
You're a beach volleyballer. I love that. I love seeing those pictures. It looks like you're having so much fun. Yeah.
Although I didn't get to play yesterday because Natalie's sick, and I had to watch Jack. So
when do you start teaching Jack how to play beach volleyball?
Next year.
What? He'll be three.
He'll be two. He just started walking.
Nice. Good. So, it's about time he learned. Get him going.
Yes. Well, speaking of being sick, so last week I mentioned Jack was sick in New York.
You found a pediatrician in New York. That was cool.
Yeah. We called this baby doctor. It's expensive, $250 a visit, and they don't take insurance. But then I was reading the chat room last week because after I mentioned it, someone said, check out Heal, H-E-A-L app. It's a free app on iOS and Android. And I really like it. It's available in more cities than just New York. Actually, they're not in New York, which only Baby Doctor is. This is available in L.A. County, San Diego County, San Francisco County, although they're not up in Marin.
When I was a kid, the doctor would come to your house where they would do house calls. And I really thought that was so cool because you're not feeling good. You don't want to go to the doctor's office, get everybody else sick. And I remember my doctor, Dr. Otter. He would come with his little black bag. He'd come and look at you and say, take two aspirin and call me in the morning. But so this is these are house calls.
Yeah. So I used it yesterday. I called up. Actually, I said, Natalie, you want to go to the doctor? She's like, yeah, but I don't really feel like going out. I said, well, let's try this new app. And so they'll go 365 days a year, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. And it's only $99 instead of $250. And if you have insurance, you just pay your copay. And they take a lot of insurances, although they didn't take Natalie's, and she has good insurance. So I'm not sure why, but I'll have to look into that later. But for $99, they came.
Nice.
I ordered it around 12:30 p.m., and they said they'll come between 2 and 4, and they came exactly at 4.
Now, is it urgent care only, or it probably is, huh?
No, it's everything. They'll even do a flu shot. They'll do a flu shot.
This is the time. Get your flu shot.
Yeah. Actually, I got mine last week. But what I didn't like about it is they don't really tell you exactly. Like, it would have been cooler if they had, like, a little Uber app where they show you how the progress is, because I kept looking at the app saying, hey, when are they going to show up? And there was no information. So, but at 4 o'clock, there they are walking down the driveway. So I would, it's definitely great. Natalie loved it. The doctor was from UCLA. She was like, I was very comfortable with them. And they come with an assistant, which the other one did not. So there's two people and they have a whole box of all kinds of medical supplies.
Heal.
And,
It's a heal.com and the app is iOS. And is it Android? Let me see if they have an Android.
Yes, it is. And you can also do it on the website if you want to.
Yes.
You don't have to just book on the app.
Nice.
But it's a great, if you're in one of these locations, which I know a lot of your listeners are in California and DC, it's a great alternative. Instead of getting up and schlepping all the way to the doctor's office.
Yeah, a lot less than an emergency room visit, I'll tell you that.
For sure. And I haven't got that bill yet from when I went. My son went last week. That's going to hurt. All right. So I just tweeted and put in the show notes a really cool website. You're going to have to click it because the URL is not easy. It's called webtrack5.bksv.com. Yes. It's actually really B2B. I think it's more for airports so people can report noise, but it's the coolest flight tracking. So webtrack5.bksv.com.
Just go to your
show notes.
Go to johnnyjet.com.
Or go to my Twitter account. I just tweeted it. And So you choose the airport, and it's not every airport, but you scroll down, you can hit LA, you can hit San Francisco. They have, I think, 29 airports in LA, and it will, you have to accept it. And then all of a sudden it will show you all the different flights.
Whoa.
And it you can't zoom out farther than what it is already. But what I really like about it is you can go past planes. So if you heard something just cruise over your hotel or your house, and you're like, oh my God, what was that? That shouldn't be over there. You can go back up to 2 months and trace the exact flight and the time. Cool. So in the bottom left-hand corner, you hit historical and the time, and it will show you. And that way you can actually – LAX has it, so you can complain. The neighbors complain. we live near LAX, and a plane just going really low.
That's terrible.
Well, this is neat. And if you leave it on there, you'll see the track itself. As the planes move, that's really cool.
Yeah, and you can hover it over it. It tells you the speed. It tells you where it's going. All the basic information. But what I love about it, and the others I don't think do, is that you can retrace. You know, up to 2 months. And so if you're on a flight just for a heck of it, you can see your flight pattern coming in or out. But more importantly, if there was, a plane that really seemed like it was too low or should not have been where it was, you can find out.
And it's just fun to watch.
It is. I love it. So one of the best spots to plane spot in L.A. is In-N-Out Burger or the Proud Bird. And a lot of people don't know about the Proud Bird. It used to be open and they closed. It's the seventh largest private museum, aviation museum.
Oh, neat.
And it's right by one of the runways. And now they redid it and they have really good food and it's open air.
Oh, I want to go. So next time I come visit you, can we go to the Proud Bird?
The Proud Bird, you will love it.
I want to go there.
I mean, the views are awesome. But, and also LAX, the In-N-Out Burger at LAX is spot on for plane spotting.
You know, I think I'm going to try this. I think you can ask Siri what planes are overhead right now. Is that right?
I don't know.
What flights are overhead right now?
Here's what I
use Flight Radar 24.
Yeah, it'll tell you. I've got a list of all the flights that are overhead. United Airlines 213.
Wow.
SkyWest flight. Yeah. You just ask Siri and she'll tell you. Flight seen from current location is what she'll show you. SkyWest, there's a Beechcraft Bonanza east northeast of me right now.
So when I go to these, plane spotting restaurants I just mentioned,
yeah,
I use Flight Radar 24 and you hit the binoculars. You have to pay, I think, $3.99 for it, but you can see. You can just point your phone up to the sky, and it'll tell you which planes.
See, that's augmented reality. That's really cool. That's really cool. I like that. I use a astronomy program at night. You can point and see what the constellations, what you're looking at. But I love the idea of looking out looking through the camera and seeing what planes and getting the information about them. That's a good use for AR. I like that.
For sure. And we were filming for Allianz Travel Insurance last week at In-N-Out Burger, actually. And I was like, you know what? Here comes a Cathay Pacific 777 coming in from Hong Kong, and the guys the camera guys were like, yeah,
how'd you know that? How'd you know that?
And all of a sudden, 3 minutes later, it comes cruising in. It was awesome.
You're showing them up. How fun. Why'd you do that? Instead of the Proud Bird, you did you did In-N-Out. Why'd you do that?
You know what? I think it was too early. We were there early. It was 10 a.m. we were filming. Okay, cool. And we got there right when In-N-Out was opening because it's not so crowded.
Johnny's the actual original jet setter. Living at In-N-Out. Doing Allianz ads. JohnnyJet.com is the place to go. He's got articles on both of these, the Heal app and the WebTrack app, which is really kind of neat. If you want to, but it's a little weird URL. So go to JohnnyJet.com. And by the way, while you're there, he's got travel newsletters. He's got, which is free, so you can get the latest flight deals stuff. If you follow him on Twitter, at JohnnyJet, look at his lists. He's got airlines, flight attendants, everything you'd want to know, you could follow on Twitter. He's a real guru.
And speaking of deals, I'm just looking right now. Delta, San Jose to Beijing, 357 round trip.
What? Let's go to China right now.
San Francisco or LA to Barcelona, 488 on Air France or KLM.
Nice.
Round trip.
You see?
Including all taxes.
You see? The technology really does help you travel better. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you.
Proud bird with a golden tail.
Yeah, check out Proud Bird. Look it up, and you...
I want to go. I want to... Maybe we will move down your way. Just want to hang out with you guys.
That would be great.
We should go down and live on the Strand.
You can watch Jack.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Leo. Time to get back to the phones here. And next, Myron from Minnesota. Hello, Myron. How are you?
I'm good, Leo. How are you?
I'm great. Welcome. What can I do for you?
Well, first of all, I want to tell you, a big fan. I've been, I'm a mailman, so I'm walking all day, and I've been listening to your podcasts for years.
Nice. So you have the little headphones in, and you can walk. That's great. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a good time. Well, my question is I've got the iPhone 7, and also the iPhone 6S Plus, and I upgraded the iPhone 7. Everything's all good, you know, all good and everything. I'm just wondering, I've heard that there's problems if you upgrade the iPhone 6S Plus.
Oh, to iOS 11? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So there have been a lot of reports of this. My wife has an iPhone 7 Plus, and she feels like the battery life went down when she went to iOS 11. It's very hard to really understand, though, if that's the case or if, you know, the problem with battery life is it's so variable. You know, it depends on radios, depends on, you know, if you're in a bad signal area, your battery life's going to plummet fast. There's sometimes applications will go rogue on you. Facebook's notorious for this and use a lot of battery life. So, yes, you're going to see these reports. Remember that there are 100 million of these phones out there, more. So if 0.1% have some problems, it's going to seem like everybody's got a problem. I think it's okay. In fact, we're now at 11.1, which means they've done, let's see, there was 11.0, 11.0.1, 11.0.3. We're now in the third. In fact, my friend Alex Lindsay, who's an iPhone junkie, says you don't want the first iOS update. You don't want the second one. You want the third one that fixes the things that the second one broke. Second one fixes things in the first. In other words, I think we're okay by now. So I would do it. And there are good, compelling reasons to do it. Security, first and foremost. So the other thing that will happen is if you're still on iOS 10, you'll notice there's some big changes in the user interface.
Well, I've upgraded the iPhone 7.
So you're used to it.
My battery life did go down for a couple of days, but then it's great now.
Yeah, see, isn't that weird?
We haven't upgraded the 6S Plus, and my wife's worried about that.
I can't promise you won't have problems, but many, many people have upgraded completely. I mean, most people, the vast majority, are completely problem-free. Okay. And, Apple doesn't release a version of iOS unless it's pretty sure it's going to be all right. These little things happen, and that's why you may not – it was probably prudent to wait, but you've waited long enough, and you really do want to do the upgrade. But make sure your wife understands – she's, you know, you're going to get the weird, some things are the dock now and stuff changes. So, but one of the things that changed, they've changed back. I used to use this all the time. The force touch on the left side of the screen to swipe into the recents. They took that out initially. Now they've put it back with 11.1. So it's less different than it used to be. I would say do it. There's real strong security reasons to do that.
I appreciate it.
My pleasure. I'm glad you listen. Take care, Myron. You too. Have a great day. Operating system upgrades potentially are problematic, of course. You're changing some big fundamental stuff on a phone or a computer. But for the most part these days, let me think if what I'm about to say is actually true. What you don't want to do is one that's just, you know, because, oh, we got to update it because otherwise people will think it's old and let's put some new features and stuff in there. I don't think for the most part upgrades like that are a good idea. The problem is the security upgrades are not only a good idea, they're a must. And I'll give you an example, the crack, K-R-A-C-K exploit, which hits devices that are connecting to a Wi-Fi access point and makes it fairly easy for a bad guy who's within range to see what you're transmitting, what you're doing on your phone or your laptop. You want that fixed. Now, the good news is iOS and Windows 10 are not susceptible to crack. Nevertheless, Apple and Microsoft are putting out patches, and all devices that connect to Wi-Fi should have patches. And so these are really important upgrades. You don't want to kind of give them short shrift. So the biggest issue with iOS 11 is it's a big change in the user interface, but it's so important from a security point of view that I would say unless you'd have to have a really good reason not to do it. Do it. Do it. And you're going to have to maybe live with some consequences of, you know, different UI. In some cases, battery life might degrade. I think it's fine. Galen, Wichita, Kansas. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Galen.
Hey, Leo. Thank you for taking my call. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you, sir.
I developed some software for Windows, and I had the customer that I developed the software for wants to be able to put it on either an Android or an Apple device, and I have no idea if I need to modify the program or if there's something that would assist him getting, basically he wants to go into the customer and just on a handheld and say, yeah, I can, we'll just do a quick estimate. It's an estimate on graphics.
Yeah, there are ways to do this. You can't, I mean, it's a lot easier if you started the program with this in mind. Essentially, you would write it in such a way that it was portable is the word that we use when a program can run on different platforms. Windows 10 is very different from iOS and Android. The processors are different. They're different in fundamental operation. You have an Intel processor on Windows 10. You have ARM-based processors on mobile. Those are fundamentally different. But more than that, the user interface is fundamentally different. And you can't just take a Windows app and put it on a phone. On the other hand, we are moving in that direction in an interesting way. In the past, there have been libraries out there that would allow you to write once and compile for different platforms. The newest thing I think is very interesting. Microsoft's been pushing something called Progressive Web Apps. Now, it's too late for this app that you wrote, unless you're in the middle of writing it.
No, it's done, and I don't know whether it matters. It was written in Power Basic, which was basically going from the 32-bit to 64-bit capabilities and networking.
Well, there might be a Power Basic library that allows you to modify it. I mean, there certainly are conversion tools. The problem is going to be user interface because you wrote Windows user interface. And so you need a user interface that can be native. Otherwise, people won't like it much. The reason that's interesting with Progressive Web Apps or PWA, first of all, the fact that Microsoft wants people to do this now is very intriguing. It's essentially writing a smart website.
Okay.
And as you know, the website, if you did it as a website, it would work anywhere because everything has browsers. And if you're using, you know, modern HTML5
technology. That's what I use. Ah. Actually, I own a web business.
So. Oh, you understand that then. So that's
the
reason people do that is because, well, it looks the same everywhere. Well, the next step in web apps is using tools like the React OS and so forth to make it that when somebody goes on a phone or a computer, it downloads some of the assets. It might have on those devices, it might have a additional tools, little applets that support the technologies in such a way that they could be offline and it would work the same. It would download the stuff and then the app would continue to work. And that's very intriguing. And it's really the holy grail for developers because nobody wants to write the program three times.
No, sir. Have you heard anything about a software package called Parallel?
That's not going to do what you want it to do. I love Parallels. These are virtual machines. You might have heard of virtual machines. Microsoft has Hyper-V, Parallels, and VMware are two big companies that do virtual machines that allow you to run operating systems on operating systems. So, for instance, you could run Windows on a Mac. And that would be a way to do it. There's no such thing for Android or iOS, however.
Okay.
So that's not going to solve your problem there.
Okay. They just had mentioned that you'd have to have the Windows 10 computer online, and then supposedly you remote into this computer.
That's not – that wouldn't be Fusion or Parallels. That would be remote access. And, yes, you could do that, and that's going to be really clunky. really, I think your best bet would be to consider rewriting the application for the web. At least it would then work everywhere. Do it as a web app, and since you're already familiar with that. And then start looking at this new technology, PWA, Progressive Web Apps. That ultimately may replace software. I think there's some very high hopes for this. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Yeah, once you write something in Power Basic, you're kind of locked into Power Basic.
Yeah, well, you know, it used to be in just regular old Turbo Basic.
Right. It was easy to port from Basics to Basics. So yeah. In a way, you know, you've done this might not be as hard as you think. You've done the work. You understand the business logic. You understand the underlying data structures. So you kind of, in order to write this program, you kind of did the work. So now think about, is that mine? Where were they?
They were under our bed. Someone was laying on the floor talking to me, and he goes, "Mom, where
are they?" Oh, thank God. Thank you, Michael. He found my the second. I don't want to buy a third pair of AirPods.
Those might be the ones you lost.
Maybe they're the ones I lost, you think? We'll find out. sorry, my wife found my AirPods.
No, that's okay.
Actually, my wife's son found the AirPods. So now that you know the logic, the business structure, the data, you might want to look at, maybe I could, and you do understand web technologies. That's really that's a big plus. See if you could do this in a website with a, you know, maybe a SQLite or a MariaDB or DB or Mongo or something like that as the back end, and redo it in a web. That would give you immediately the capability to run it on any platform because everything has a browser. And then the next step past that is looking at Progressive Web Apps so that it could run standalone without being online.
Oh my goodness, that is a big deal. That is awesome.
I really think this is the future. If you read up, Paul Thurrott at Thurrott.com wrote a good article on Progressive Web Apps, PWA, Thurrott.com. Read his article on PWA, and he has at the bottom a bunch of resources to better understand PWA. You know HTML5. You'd probably use, I think you would probably use React, the React library. There are libraries to help you do this. You've done the hard work, which is understanding the business logic and the data and all that. Now you're going to have to rewrite it, but you'd rewrite it in a way that would be usable. If somebody comes up with a new device, it would work on a tablet, work on a phone, it would work on a computer. It would work everywhere. I know, that's what you want.
This about 3 years ago.
Well, yeah. Well, this wasn't even around 3 years ago.
That's then it wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah. Yeah. Good luck. I think this is a really interesting project. Have fun.
Thank you, Leo.
Yeah. And by the way, you master this, you are hot. You're suddenly in demand.
Okay?
Good.
Thank you.
Take care. I'm all right. I'm already wishing we had written our website. We spent $250,000 on a new website a few years ago. It's in Node. It's a Drupal backend, and it's a Node.js front end. I would like to make this a Progressive Web app. That would be the way to do it. That would be an awesome thing to do. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones. Yes, I have the iPhone 10, smart watches, augmented reality, 8888-ASK-LEO, anything with a chip in it, 888-827-5536. The website techguylabs.com. I'd love it if you take advantage of that. It's open 24/7, Monday through Sunday. Anytime you have a question, you can go there. We've got a great search, no charge. You leave your comments, too. You don't have to yell at the radio anymore. Or if you have a question about the iPhone 10 you want me to answer, just leave it at the site, techguylabs.com. Yeah, I've been talking about the iPhone 10 all morning, not just on the radio, but to anybody who will listen. My friend Renee Ritchie writes for iMore, said it's the best product Apple's ever released. And I thought, oh, come on, Renee. Is it really? He might not be wrong. It's interesting because I, like many of you, I think, have become a fan of big phones. I bought the first Samsung Galaxy Note when it came out. I love big phones because I want more screen. Because really, when I use a smartphone, it's more as a computer than as a phone. Big screen means bigger keyboard, easier for me to type, easier to read when I'm reading articles or, you know, looking at Facebook or Instagram. I just like a big screen. The iPhone X is, in fact, you should probably, before you buy it, go look at it at an Apple store or Best Buy or somewhere, because it's a smaller screen. It has, you know, it's a much smaller phone. The screen goes edge to edge. It covers the whole face of the phone. There's no more home button. So you might say, and it's Apple says it's 5.8 inches. But it's a little deceptive because a lot of it is not usable because of the notch at the top and controls at the bottom. So it's a little bit smaller screen. I have to say, it's just about right, though. You can get too big. I've had 6-inch screens that are too big. I think the Note 8, pretty nice. That's a 6.2-inch screen. But it's tall, right? And it is big in the pocket. This new iPhone X is just comfortable. It's a good size. Pretty legible. Ask me in a few weeks, though. As I had pointed out, this is, you know, I've had it a day. You don't learn to hate a technology until you've had it long enough to really find its, you know, weak points. So, but so far, very impressed. The notch doesn't bother me. You get used to it very quickly. The new control interface, because there's no home button. You have to swipe up, swipe down, swipe left, all sorts of weird swipes. But you get used to it. Doesn't take long. Didn't take me any time. I got very comfortable with it. And the face recognition is pretty impressive. To the point where you're really not even aware that you're unlocking it. It just unlocks when you look at it. And it does work most of the time. Not all the time. And if it doesn't work, you have a 6-digit passcode that you can enter in. You know, the biggest negative. Two negatives. Of course, still no headphone jack. That bugs me. I wish they had one. But I've come to get used to that, I guess. And, of course, the price. And it is very expensive. It starts at $1,000. And the one you might want, the one I got, the 256 gig model, is $1,150. That's an awful. There's some really good phones out there for a lot less. In fact, if you want a phone with a great screen, good size, you might look at the Essential phone. They've dropped the price down now. It's $500. If you know somebody else who has an Essential phone, you can get it for $300. That's a fantastic Android phone. That might be my favorite Android phone at that price. Kind of a mid-price, $500 instead of $1,000. Or I guess this Note 8 is $930. Man, these are expensive. Whew. That's a lot. That's a lot. And I think really maybe the bottom line here is if you like your phone, don't worry about it. Stick with what you got. If you're happy with your phone. But if it's really old maybe and you're looking for a new one, the iPhone X is definitely worth looking at. Very impressed. Steve, Nashville, Tennessee is our next caller. Hi, Steve. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Actually, you're going to talk to his wife because he fell asleep waiting for you.
Well, don't. Hey, you know the rule. Never wake a sleeping husband.
Exactly. Yeah. You got it.
Yeah.
He got a phone call the other day from somebody claiming to be AT&T. And they, were saying, your account, your cell service has been suspended.
Oh, scammers.
We want your social security number, your PIN number.
Oh, he didn't fall for it, did he?
No, he did not.
Good
and
man.
He even called AT&T to report the thing.
Good.
But they even spoofed AT&T's number.
Of course
they did. You know
what I mean?
Yeah.
Of course they did. Yeah.
So mainly he wanted to call him, and so your listeners would be aware, especially your AT&T users, of what was going on.
Well, and you know what? We're coming to the end of the year pretty soon. It's going to be tax season, and people are going to get phony calls from the IRS. Everybody gets these phony calls from Microsoft. This is scammers love this stuff because people fall for it. And, of course, they always do what they did to your husband, which is say something scary.
Yeah.
Your service has been turned off because they want you to act without thinking. They want you to act quickly. Oh, no, I need my service back. Okay, no problem. We'll turn it back, but I need your social security number, your date of birth, and your home address just to make sure it's you. We have to, you know, security is very important to us. We have to make sure it's you. Oh, yes, let me give you all that information. I don't want my phone service turned off. And then, of course, they've got you. So,
and I was like, how stupid can they be? Because if the phone was turned,
it wouldn't ring.
It wouldn't work anyway.
These people are not known for their brains.
Yeah, I know.
And you can almost always catch them out because their English will be imperfect or their grammar will be bad or they'll say something like that that's just stupid.
Yeah, yeah. And this was actually an automated recording.
Yeah.
Which was, you know.
Well, you know why they do that? There's no cost. There's very little cost for them to do this. But one of the reasons email spam took off is because it cost nothing. It cost a fraction of a cent to send spam. It was so much cheaper than direct mail. And now the reason we're getting all these robocalls and annoying calls, by the way, that do something, what they spoof the number. One of the new ones is neighbor spoofing, where it's the same area code and exchange as yours. And you go, well, that must be my neighbor, right? And you answer it. And my wife just did this. It was the same area code and first three digits of her phone number. She thought, oh, well, this got to be somebody who lives in our neighborhood.
Sure.
And it said, you've just won a timeshare. No, gosh, well, I fell for it again. So these people are terrible. They're scammers. It's just terrible. I'm glad your husband, he deserves his nap.
He was very, you know, cognizant of what was going on, and he wanted your listeners to know.
Thank you. What's your name?
To get to speak to you for the first time.
He's I know. Times, it's so funny.
He listens to you all the time.
So. What's your name?
Melissa.
Hi, Melissa. Steve's going to say, wait a minute, you talked to him? Melissa, you should have...
I'm like, I'm not waking you up. Forget it.
Never wake up sleeping. Babies, dogs, or husbands. Let them sleep.
You got it. Absolutely.
Nice to talk to you, Melissa.
On the other hand, it's quite all right for them to wake us up anytime they feel like it.
Well, and it, you know what? Chore time.
That is not true.
It is. It is a Saturday afternoon. I'm sure he has some honeydews. Let's get him to work here.
Seriously.
Nice to talk to you, Melissa. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it. And tell Steve he was great.
Leo.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye. moving right along. Actually, I won't move along because I think we're going to take a break for the bottom or a quarter after the hour. We'll take a break and we'll come back. And you're going to be next, Juan from Connecticut. Don't go anywhere. He has an idea. He wants to... wants to get something for his girlfriend. We won't say anything. And he wants to know my advice. So we're going to talk about that. Phone shopping for your loved ones when we continue. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. Website free. No sign up. I have to say that because some of these other people, they charge you for access to the web. No charge. No sign up. TechGuyLabs.com. There is a resource. Great search. Every show, 1,400 plus shows. You can find out what I thought about the Samsung Galaxy Note 1 if you want. 8888 Ask Leo. Your call's next. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo, the phone number. Moving on to Juan in Connecticut. Hi, Juan.
Hey, Leo. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure. So you want to get something nice for your lady?
Yeah. And before that, I have a quick question, I guess a comment more on the question.
Sure.
Regarding the iPhone X.
Yeah.
I'm visually impaired, and I've been using an iPhone since 2013, which is the one I've been using since then, the iPhone 5. and I'll be upgrading this month to the 8, hopefully the 8. That was my initial idea. So
I think the 8 is great. You know, the 8, is. We thought initially that the 8 didn't sell very well, but then Apple's quarterly results came out, and it turns out it sold really well. 46 point some million iPhones were sold last quarter, most of those iPhone 8 and 8 Pluses. Very nice phone. Yeah, very nice phone. And if you're visually impaired, there's really no reason to spend $200, $300 more for an iPhone 10 because you want the edge-to-edge screen. I mean, that doesn't matter to you, does it?
Yeah, no, not really. But one of the things that I found interesting was that, I guess, being kind of geeky, I went to play with the iPhone 10 in the store yesterday just to see
how
Apple implemented, because using VoiceOver, the home button is a major part for app switching.
Right.
Activating the activated
VoiceOver. You triple tap the home button, it launches accessibility.
Correct.
In your case, you probably turn on the screen reader, right?
Yeah, that's what it does. And so I was, and not only me, a lot of people were curious, okay, no home button, how are we going to go home? How are we going to use the app switcher? And Apple did something pretty cool. Using the haptic feedback for us visually impaired to go home or to app switch, when you swipe from the bottom up, you get along the lines, you get two bumps. The first bump you feel when you slide up.
Oh.
And you release your finger, goes home. Now, if you continue, you feel a different haptic feedback bump. The second bump brings up the app switcher.
Oh, that is cool. Now, is that a setting? Because the app switcher, I get the haptic bump, and they have to do it because it's so weird. You switch it up, you pull it up halfway, and then wait a second, and then you get the bump. And so if they didn't do that, no one would even know what was going on. But did they have a switch to turn on the home? So how do you turn on accessibility? How do you turn on your screen reader on an iPhone 10?
Well, Siri does it. Which is
okay.
You just tell Siri, you know, turn voiceover on.
And what they're doing now with it used to be with Siri, you press the home button and talk. Now you press the on-off switch and talk, and then Siri gets activated that way. So that's a reasonable replacement, I think.
It is, and it works. I was skeptical, and you know, a lot of people were that I was listening to in the blind community, but it was so easy to do once I got used to swiping up and feeling one bump. Two bumps, and then on the second bump, I knew it was the app switch, and I just lift my finger, and it just went to that quick.
This is kind of reassuring, because I did have some concerns about, well, for instance, with the Touch ID, you know you've unlocked the screen, but with Face ID, it's a visual indicator only. A little lock unlocks. I don't know how you'd know that you had unlocked it.
Well, they made it so, which is why I like about Apple, that they think about things. They actually made a noise when you have voiceover
so
on
smart.
To
so
give
smart.
You a notification that it's been unlocked.
They're very good at, we call this accessibility, the ability for people with different abilities to use the phone effectively. And nobody does it better than Apple. I'm really pleased to hear that you could still use a 10, although I think you'd prefer the 8.
Yeah, and well, being a geek, when I played with the 10 for like 15 minutes and went and felt the 8 right next to the 10, the 8 felt old to me.
Well, that's the idea, right? Once you put fins on a Cadillac, nobody wants one without fins.
Exactly. and it did the same thing. You know that now, sight of people, you got to pull down from the left or the right, you know, what you want to bring up.
Yeah.
It did the same thing with the haptic. I could drag my finger from the top down. The first bump is notifications. The second bump is control center.
Interest. So what you need to do to turn that on, and you must have had one of the Apple Store employees show you this. You go to accessibility, and there's something called assistive touch.
Well, no. This is just from turning on voiceover. Usually, when
as soon as you turn on voiceover, it does it too. That makes sense. Yeah.
No voiceover. Yeah, and it does it for both instances. And as far as the Face ID, I was worried because, you know, vision impaired people, some people have prosthetics, some people have their eyes closed.
Right.
So the phone had a feature where you had to look at it, but there's also the other one where I guess it just needs to see your face. It doesn't have to have you give your attention to it.
Truthfully, some people might, even sighted people, might want to turn on assistive touch because the haptics give you additional feedback. Plus, you have things you can do with a single tap, a double tap, a long press, 3D touch. There's a lot of additional. You can create new gestures if you wanted to. So you could have a custom gesture that, you know, make a V that would turn on the flashlight, things like that. Those kinds of features are actually pretty cool. And this is new in the iPhone 10 and to some degree because of the lack of a physical home button. So, you know what? This is something I hadn't really plumbed. Thank you for calling and asking about it, because this is a whole new area that I'm going to have to start playing with.
No, if you want to just play with it, just tell Siri to turn on voiceover and just swipe from the bottom up and feel the bumps, and then swipe from the top down and feel the bumps. And you can just tell to turn voiceover off with Siri too, and it'll be pretty quick. So, you know, just to anybody else, because I know a lot of visually impaired people listen to you, if they are considering the iPhone 10 and are worried because of the accessibility, just be mind that is all good. It works.
That's really great to know, Juan. Thank you for filling me in on that. I appreciate it.
Now to my girlfriend.
Yeah.
She's not listening. I'm safe.
Good. Okay. Don't want anybody to.
She's been using an old LG Stylo for the longest time. And she's seen the Moto X 4th generation. And they had a nice blue color that she fell in love with. So I'm curious to see your thoughts on that phone. And while I was on hold, you mentioned the Essential phone that's $500 and this Moto X is $400. So first, I get your thoughts on the Moto X 4 generation, and then between the two, if I had a choice.
I've always been a big fan of the Moto X since it came out. I haven't played with the 4th generation yet, but it looks like they've done a lot. Is she visually impaired as well, or is she sighted?
No.
Okay.
No, she's sighted.
Yeah, because I have to say, Android might not be the best choice if you're visually impaired. I do think Apple's done a better job.
They're doing a better job.
They're getting better. I agree.
Yeah, I have to help my mom with her phone, and she has an Android phone, and I have to use TalkBack on it. So I'm pretty proficient using that, too, and they came a long way from a few years ago. So they're... Some things, even myself, they were. I like Android because of the customization you could do.
Yep.
And I wish they were up to par with Apple, because if they were, I would probably be an Android user more.
Where is she? I don't see the blue on the website. It must be a Verizon exclusive, huh?
The Moto X 4 generation. I saw it in. She saw it in Best Buy.
Buy. All right. Because online, the X4 only comes in silver and gray. I think the X is a great choice. I have no problem with that. And at $100 less than the Essential phone, I'd say I give that a buy. Go for it. She's a lucky girl. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Yeah, come. This guy loves now, which is interesting. Isn't that interesting? I'm not sure why you would want Amazon Voice services on a phone, but I think that's kind of intriguing. Yeah, I think this is a nice one. I think it's a nice phone. I don't know. It's an interesting thing that they put the Echo on there.
Yeah, I thought she saw it, but I wasn't sure. But I guess they, I don't know. Maybe, I know Amazon sells their own version with ads on it, too.
Those are very unobtrusive, but it doesn't save you enough to make it, in my opinion, worth
it. Only $70. I'm like, we'll just, if I do get it, I will get it unlocked. And then
I love the Moto X. It still has the way it feels in the hand because of that curved back just is great. They have the Moto mods, which are pretty cool. I think those work with the Moto. Maybe they don't. Maybe you have to have a Z for that. I guess you have to have a Z for that.
Yeah, the Z, they moved on to the Z for more.
Yeah, you're right.
The Moto X. Yeah, the Moto X used to be more the high end, close to the high end.
The
now
Z
it's
is
a,
now.
A little lower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But and lower than that even is the G5, which I also like a lot. I'm still a huge fan of the Motorola phones. Even though Lenovo bought them from Google, they're still made by the guys in Chicago, and I think that they do a very good job.
The G5 Plus was the one that we were looking at as well.
That's less expensive. It looks
nice.
Yeah, it's another $100 off. Yeah.
But it's pretty nice.
The camera's better on the, I believe the camera's better on the X a little bit. That would be the biggest difference.
Yeah, dual cameras. And, like I said, I'm going from an iPhone 5 to an 8. And she should be going from a stylo to that if we ended up going that
way.
This
would be a big improvement for her, yeah.
So definitely, I appreciate it, man. I really like all your shows, and I really... waiting for your guys' reviews of on the 10 something more.
Yeah, I thought I'd be giving you a review in about 3 weeks. I was very, very shocked when Lisa said, "Hey, my phone's coming." Oh, that's good news. So, I have to say, and I have the same basic experience that you have, which is brand new to me too. I mean, I've only played with it for a day, but so far I took a bunch of pictures. I went to see Bruno Mars last night, and I took a bunch of recordings. I'm going to play those videos back to see how it does in unusual lighting and unusual sound conditions. I have to check that out. But the camera is very nice. I have to say they do a nice job.
The phone feels nice. I like the
doesn't
size it?
Of it.
It feels good in the hand.
Yeah, it really feels good. Perfect. Yeah. Yeah. I think
I'll wait. I'll get my E, and then in 2 years, this generation, I'll get
– You want the next X. Is what I think.
To me, this is like the X has like the body of next year.
That's
with
right.
The engine of this year.
Exactly. So the one to get will be the iPhone XS or whatever they call the next one, because they'll have some refinements on there, some improvements, and you'll have. But this is the new design for sure, and it's really nice. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it.
Thanks for the call.
No, thank you, and you have a good weekend.
Have a good weekend. Take care. Bye, Juan. All right. Hey, our show today brought to you by, oh, those great folks at Rocket Mortgage. It's time to buy a new house for you, maybe, or maybe refi. While interest rates are still low, this is the place to go. Quicken Loans, the best lender in the country, number one in customer satisfaction year after year after year, according to J.D. Power. They have made a product for us, the geeks. Now, there are people I know, maybe you're one of them, that like to go to the bank, that like to go through papers in the attic, find all the paperwork, bring them to the banker, go back and forth, have a nice conversation. Sometimes the banker will give you a cup of coffee. If that's what you want, you can still do that. But if you're the kind of person like me that wants to do the whole thing online and get approved for a perfect loan in minutes, you're going to love Rocket Mortgage. It lifts the burden of applying for a home loan. The modern technological revolution finally comes to the loan approval process. You do the whole thing online. You can do it on your phone. Go right now to rocketmortgage.com/tech guy. You can go through the process. You don't have to get any paperwork. They have trusted partnerships with all the financial institutions. You give them basic information. They say, is this you? You say, yes. They immediately start crunching the numbers. And within a minute, like right away, you're going to get the loans for which you qualify based on, and you choose the down payment, the term, the rate. And they approve you. And they say, press this button to download our approval letter. You go hand with that in hand, and that makes it so much easier to buy a house. And it didn't take, like our last time we bought a house, months. It takes minutes. RocketMortgage.com/tech guy. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently, equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states, NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030. If you're not buying a house today, bookmark it. Maybe you will tomorrow. RocketMortgage.com/tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo, the phone number. Back to the phones we go. Harry in Pico Rivera, California. Hi, Harry.
Hi, how you doing, sir?
I am very well. How are you, sir?
Well, so far so good, but don't worry, I'll get over it.
It always passes, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. God, I really enjoy your show. Even listening on hold here, I mean, this job, I just can't. Well, there's other things to do, but I enjoy it.
Thank you.
I just really enjoy it.
Well, you know, you hear when you're on hold the stuff behind the scenes going on, my continued conversation with our callers, things like that. And that's not broadcast, so just don't tell anybody what you heard.
Oh, no. Oh.
That's the secret stuff.
Yeah.
What can I do for you? It's fine. There's nothing you shouldn't hear. What can I do for you?
Well, you've been talking about cell phones. I've got a BlackBerry Bold and at 9930, and I guess I like the thing. It's function. It works for me. But I'm told by AOL that I won't be able to get any more email from them through my Bold because of some settings. And
do you get your AOL email through an AOL app on the Bold?
You know, I don't know. I went through the AOL. I went through it to the app. Well, I went into BlackBerry's device and said, okay, what kind of email do you want to set up?
And you're connecting, instead of connecting, say, to the BlackBerry server, which is how BlackBerry's originally worked, you can connect to other servers, including the AOL server. But that sounds like that has been sunsetted. And I'm not surprised because BlackBerry, basically, the company, RIM, has been some sunsetted. So
yeah.
So I'm not surprised that they don't connect anymore.
So I called them, and after spending several hours on the phone, they discovered that the 9900, there's some port settings you can change in the 9900 that you can't change on the 9930.
The 9930 is their CDMA version for Verizon and Sprint. The 9900 is for AT&T, T-Mobile, GSM carriers.
Oh.
The problem is, who's your carrier?
Verizon.
Yeah, you're using the 9930 because you're on a CDMA network. You couldn't use the 9900 on it. So don't go out and buy a 9900 and say, yeah, your AOL will work, but your Verizon won't anymore. You know what I would suggest? You are living in the past, both in terms of hardware and software, but presuming you like the phone and you particularly like the physical keyboard.
And the battery.
And the battery life, which goes days.
Yes.
You might want to say, change your email.
We went over to Google, and Google says, your browser's too old.
No! This is why people get new phones, because eventually hardware gets left behind, and that's frustrating. Maybe not Google, then. Let's try some other ones.
I don't know about Yahoo.
Well, So Google, what we have to figure out, and I'm going to this is going to take a little research on my part, is which kinds of servers the BlackBerry supports. My suspicion, do you see, for instance, among choices, of course, you see first BlackBerry information server, you know, the BlackBerry server itself. You probably see a Microsoft Exchange choice. Do you see an IMAP choice along with Yahoo and AOL and Google?
Well, what it asks when I go into the
to set up a new email.
Yeah, it says, okay, who's your provider who is it? And then you type it in, and it's, okay, fine. Yeah. I did that to Google, and I guess I could do the same thing from Yahoo.
Try Yahoo. You know, those are free. I like and use a paid service called Fastmail that is a pure IMAP. That's the protocol. That's the technology, IMAP.
Yeah.
And if it supports pure IMAP, Google is not pure IMAP. That's part of the problem, perhaps. If it supports pure IMAP, which I bet it does, then Fastmail would be a good choice. I'm sure it supports Exchange servers, in which case you could. There are many people who offer Exchange email. I wish there were still people around that offered BlackBerry, because that was really the best way to do email. I loved that.
Yeah, the thing I got from AOL said they wanted me to change the port settings, and they would walk me through it, but I couldn't on their emulator. But their emulator wouldn't go to the 9930. And the port setting says IMAP, and they wanted to do all these things.
Yeah,
my machine won't do that.
Oh, you can't go in there and change them.
Right.
The 9900 would.
That's what I'm told. Their emulators say the 9900 will let you do it. 9930 won't.
That's strange. Okay.
What about Pico Mail?
Possibly. The real trick is to figure out, it sounds like this for some reason, this 9930 has some strange limitations on it. So what we really want to do is figure out what kinds of email the 99, I'll have to do some research for you, but keep listening. I might be able to do that in the next break. Kind of email protocols you can do on the 9930, find that out first, and then it's easy enough to figure out, well, who can support it. You know, in theory, you can set up Gmail on a BlackBerry. It sounds like there's some particular limitation on this BlackBerry you have. And I don't know what those limitations are. So I'm going to have to research what's different about the 9930 and the 90, besides the GSM and CDMA difference. Because you can't use the other one on your Verizon.
Oh.
So, you know, at some point, you might be able to get over this speed bump, but at some point, it's just going to get worse and worse. And you know, you won't be able to go to certain sites.
Yeah.
You know, this is why, it's, you know, that phone will never die. That phone, I still have my BlackBerry. My last BlackBerry I owned was 2007 before the iPhone came out, and I still have it. Still would work.
Yeah.
Nothing would work with it, though. That's the problem.
Yeah. Well, it's not quite as old as I am, but anyway.
But I understand why you love it. That Bold is a great device. And that keyboard is beautiful. As you say, battery life never stops. It's doing what you want it to do. The problem is, sadly, these services no longer support older devices. That's really the real problem.
So it's aging faster than my dog.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you know, dog years, 7 years per human year. I always say computer years, and probably it's worse for phones, but computer years, 15 years. Phones probably 20 years per human year. I mean, it's you know, a 5-year-old phone is a 100-year-old phone.
Oh, God.
I mean, really, yeah. Dr. Mom has found a Verizon wireless support base. Let's see. Set up BlackBerry Internet service via device. This is for the 9900.
It won't work on the 9900.
Yeah, that's interesting. They mention set up BlackBerry Internet service on the 9930 smartphone.
Oh.
So maybe Verizon does support the 9930 now. That would be a question for Verizon. And, you know, it's not going to be easy finding. This is okay. So it looks like, I'll tell you what, we'll put this in the show notes.
Okay.
Set up BlackBerry Internet service via 9930 smartphone. And it says Yahoo, Gmail, AOL, Windows Live, other. This may be out of date. Obviously, it is, since AOL no longer works. You know what? This, you already know this. This is the step-by-step that you've already gone through as I look at it. What The problem is that menu, Yahoo, Gmail, AOL, Windows Live, Other, is out of date. There, for instance, there is no more Windows Live, ma'am. So, so, and AOL now no longer works. And so that's really the problem. And BlackBerry is not putting out updates, are they?
I couldn't tell if they were or weren't.
They're not.
Okay.
So they've become a software company. They don't make phones anymore. So it's like you have a buggy whip, but no buggy. Time to get a horse. 8888-ASK-LEO, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We'll see if we do some research for you and come up with an answer. More of your calls right after this. Actually, Dick DiBartolo right after this. So, Dr. Mom says, it looks like you could set up AOL and Gmail if you use the other function. I don't know if this is something you've tried or not. Have you used the other function?
The other I don't know what that is.
So, when you go choose the emails, at the bottom account is other.
Okay.
So, in other words, don't choose AOL or Gmail or Yahoo. Choose other. You will need then the literal ports and the server names. You have to set it up manually.
Okay.
But yeah, those manual server information that that AOL gave you or Gmail gave you, those should work. At least they'd be worth a try.
Oh, boy. Well, I'm glad we got show notes.
Yeah, I don't know if show notes will help you in this respect, but I will put that link. But so when you go to select your email account,
yeah,
the mistake you're making is, oh, I'm looking at Yahoo or Gmail or AOL, and you're picking those, but those are no longer the preset settings in the phone are wrong now.
Right.
So you have to go to other and do it manually. And if you have in front of you a page or a piece of paper that says what the port settings and the server settings are for any email provider,
right,
you could enter those manually and it should work.
AOL did send me the
map. It didn't work.
Well, I haven't gotten that far because
go to other. That's the key.
Yeah.
Go to other.
I found other on this thing.
Yeah. Try other. And what other really is don't use these presets that we conveniently provide you. But do it yourself. And now that you have those settings from AOL, you could probably go through that other and fill in those blanks and see if it works. And if it doesn't, then you'd be able to get the same information from Gmail or Yahoo, and those should probably work.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you. Thank you.
Take care, Harry. Bye.
Bye.
He doesn't sound confident. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Thank you, Michael Cozio, musical director. He's playing that just because we like to see Dick DiBartolo dance, but also because I saw Bruno Mars last night at the Oracle Arena. That was so much fun. And, you know, Dick, they always do this, don't they, at shows? They hold the biggest hit to the last.
Oh, absolutely.
So he leaves the stage. The stage is dark. He hasn't done Uptown Funk. Everybody's going, I want to hear Uptown Funk. They all, you know, nowadays, they don't hold up lighters. They turn their phones to flashlight.
Yes.
And they hold up their, and it's actually better than lighters. It's really bright. there's all these flashlights being held up. And then, finally he comes out. Yes, of course he's going to do Uptown Funk.
Yes.
It was awesome. I love that song. I danced.
Oh, you did? In the aisle?
In the aisle, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. No, we were. Wow. Yeah, I did, actually. Okay. But I wasn't alone. I think there were a few other people. Dick DiBartolo is here, not merely to provide a foil for me as I tell my dumb concert stories, but in fact, because he's Mad Magazine's maddest writer and a Gizmo fan, we call him the Giz Whiz. And he joins us each week with a gizmo or a gadget. Hello, Dickie D. I like your new backdrop.
Yes, you know, Mad's leaving, so I'm going to miss the showcases at Mad and all the stuff on the wall. So I'm recreating some of it in Gizneyland.
So people who came to Madison Avenue, as I did with my daughter when she was little, to get a tour of Mad Magazine, go to Dick's house instead.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody, go to Gizneyland. He's on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, right near the old Mad building. And I love it. Dennis built you these shelves, and it just looks great.
Yeah, no, it's super. We're having really a great time doing it.
Anyway, you have brought us something fun.
So, Leo, I have a first look. Ooh. It doesn't even have a price yet, ooh, but the price is going to be announced at CES 2018. One of the most bizarre gadgets. I found it at the Luxury Technology Show. Here in New York City. It's from a company called Shadecraft. This may have your name on it, or you may think this is really ridiculous.
If it
ridiculous.
Does, that would be really strange. But okay.
That would be strange. Yeah. That would be strange.
The that's Leo 5000, yes.
Yes, I think that's an extra $5,000. okay, it's called the Sunflower. The first robotic shading system.
Oh,
okay. So it's like a backyard umbrella, like 6 or 7 feet in diameter.
This does have my name on it.
Yes, it has GPS. It has Bluetooth. It has Wi-Fi.
Wait a minute. So it tilts to follow the sun to block it?
It tilts to follow the sun. At night, it closes. The solar panels are built into the umbrella.
Oh, I totally want this.
When you come out and sit down, it recognizes where you're sitting and it tilts to shade you. But it also
has voice.
It is scary. The guy was describing it and I thought, it's like having a roommate. I hope he's going to be a pleasant person. Or you can just say, umbrella, tilt the other way. Then you can stream your music through it because it has a built-in. Yes. It checks the air in the morning and sends you an air clearance report, how clear the air is. Leo, I assume when this is shown at CES and they put a price on it, what's your guess? I already have a guess.
It's going to be $1,000 or more, right? I mean, you could buy a sun umbrella for $30.
Yeah, I know. No, I'm guessing more like several thousand.
Oh, Lord. Who would buy this?
And lights underneath. Everything runs solar powered. Wait a
minute, you can charge your phone on it.
You can charge your phone. Has USB out. You can go to your phone and look through the HD camera that's built in it. I assume you could tell it to rotate, and you could see all around your property through the umbrella.
There's a camera on it?
Yes, an HD camera.
That's bizarre.
So you can say, "Hey, you get away from my car! I'm watching you through my umbrella."
I totally want this.
Okay, well, I'm going to see.
I would pay. I tell them Leo will buy it since it has his name on it.
How much?
I will pay no more than $14.95.
$14.95.
That's my final offer.
Okay. No, anything under $1,500.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. No. When he was describing it, I was thinking, does it walk out with you carrying your breakfast?
Umbrella. It practically
go inside
could.
And get me some French toast. It's going to be interesting.
Wow.
It's going to be very
They may have overbuilt it.
I think so.
You know, like put too much stuff into it. I want the Shadecraft Leo version 2. That will be a little less expensive, but it doesn't have a USB port and a camera.
Yes.
How about that?
Yes, and it checks wind velocity, and it knows when it should close.
What? It knows when it's windy?
Yes. And it closes automatically so it doesn't get damaged.
See, that's kind of cool. I mean, I recently weatherproofed our deck outside because the rains. We had our first rain of the season yesterday, and I had to put my cover on my grill and take the cushions in. But this thing would be great. It would just fold itself up and scuttle into the garage.
Yeah, it'll probably send you a text saying, "Leo, I'm covered up. Come out and get your barbecue."
Get the barbecue. Now I want the barbecue to cover itself now. Wow, this is the ultimate. I presume you pair it to your Wi-Fi. It's an Internet of Things device.
Oh, absolutely, yes, yes.
Crazy.
It's pretty neat. When I saw it, I said to Dennis, here's a Leo thing.
I
did it on the Gizwiz, and Chad said, have you told Leo about this?
How do you guys know me so well?
We do.
Isn't it terrible? You're lying on your bark and your lounger and in the sun, and you're sunning with your little tinfoil thing, and the sun moves, and you got to move the umbrella. I hate it when that happens.
Yeah,
I hate that.
Okay,
you get up. Does it spray you with sunblock as well?
Not yet. I think that's the
is there a tanning solution?
2.0. That'll be sunflower 2.0.
You want to find out more about the sunflower from Shadecraft? Dick's got it all at his website, gizwiz.biz. Just click the Gizwiz Visits the Tech Guy button. You can also click the button below it, or is it above it? I think it's in the middle there.
It's below it.
Below it. That said, he knows where I'm going with this. That says, what the heck is that? Because it's time for a brand new What the Heck Is It contest.
It's a brand new game, a little different. It's November and half of December because Mad is leaving town and I will no longer have a mail room and no longer have a place to run and grab 36
Well, what are you going to do?
Well, I'm still going to be writing for Mad.
No, but I mean, is this the end? Is this the last
What the Heck Is It will continue starting again in January. But the first year I'm going to give away fun Mad stuff, like old Mad
Other
Station.
Stuff.
You can
Other
play
stuff.
Mad for Mad Stationery.
Okay. So if you want to win, and this really is getting more valuable by the moment, because Dick's almost, you know, he's old. if you want an, I'm just teasing. You want to get an autographed copy of a Mad magazine by this fella, Mad's Maddest Writer, go to the gizwiz.biz website. You got to tell me what the dentures, the red dentures were.
Yes, so there's the actual use for them. They are tiny silicone micro mitts.
Oh, please.
For taking hot things out of the oven or the microwave.
Now, so do you finger put them goes in, on the thing before you cook it or
No, you put a finger in each one of them.
Oh dear.
And now they can handle up to, I think it's like 450 degrees and you can handle hot things.
Well, what's wrong with a pot holder?
Well, it doesn't look as much fun. And a potholder, everybody would have guessed it.
Yeah, and actually,
I can't show a potholder. They go, Dick, that's a potholder.
Stephen Rainey Smith said, I think this is a silicon pan grabber, like an oven mitt.
Yeah, what? He got it right.
What? Anyway, that's how you get an autographed copy of Mad Magazine.
Exactly.
Although there are more Mad Magazines for the best wrong answers.
Yeah, my favorite thing was you use it to make pancakes into waffles.
It's a manual waffle maker.
Maker, yeah, exactly.
So we're sticking with the red plastic motif.
Yeah, we are, exactly. This is the next 6 weeks.
I don't know what this is. This is very interesting. This is the kind of thing you stare at and you go, clearly the ridge is there. This has got some function, but what?
Yeah.
The clip, what goes on something, but it's got a thing and the thing.
I'll give you a hint. It doesn't protect you from the sun.
It doesn't have any Wi-Fi built in.
No Wi-Fi.
All right. Well, check it out. It is Gizwiz, GIZWIZ.BIZ. Thank you, Dickie D.
Okay, buddy.
Thank you to Kim Schaffer for answering the phones. Dick D. Bartolo, our Gizwiz. Johnny Jett. Our travel guru, but mostly thanks to you. Thank you for being here. Couldn't do it without you. And I'll see you next time. I am Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Have a great geek week. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget, TWIT, T-W-I-T. It stands for This Week in Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts for this show. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, Security on Security Now. I mean, I can go on and on and on. And, of course, the big show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guys show. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time.